much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We had such a good time sitting on the floor eating that bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And now it's time for another episode of the Many Reactions of Psycho Mike. Megan Fox.
Oh.
Christian Bale. Pete Wentz.
Oh.
Slayer.
Oh.
Kirsten Dunst.
Bleh.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Wah, 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 wah.
It was dubbed that by a guy on a West Coast radio station named Psycho Mike. So do we really want to trust
It's not the Psycho Mike years, it's the Letterman years.
Yeah, it's
oh, Psycho Mike is clean in this deal.
Nothing to do with you.
H-U-N-G-R-Y. Mike's butt has no alibi. It's hungry. Oh, oh, it's hungry.
Yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
A live broadcast to my pants.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Talk that way.
Roll another one.
I think I'm gonna need to change my pants.
Just like the other one.
Really?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Well, you need to go to a doctor for something like that.
Roll another one.
What is sadomasochism?
Just like the other one.
I'm looking to get a copy of it.
This one seems to be about to end.
Solid.
I don't have another cent.
Your gayness does not define you. Your Mexicanness is what defines you.
What about the dogs? No respect for the dogs?
Just pass it around.
Open wide for Chunky.
Have you ever tried the fudge sprinkler?
And now,
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning.
You sound good, Kevin.
It's because gargle vodka. It helps clean up my mouth and my diction. Crisp my diction.
That is the
That's
answer.
Right. Granola bar.
Why is it so hard for us to keep people on this show? What's
don't
the deal?
Know.
Why can't we field a full baseball team every game? I don't understand what the problem is.
At the end of the week, you get an extra little like 2 minute buffer too with that there. Don't Bogart,
right?
So
which he counts on.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. Well, part of it is Kevin. Kevin's not here. I expect that. But you know, this is the cold and flu season, and we certainly have had our share of people out sick of late too.
Yes.
Ralph is back out today, and you know, Dave worked sick. I guess Alex was out. I've been sick. Everybody, it seems like everybody's been sick this year. But it's tough for us to get everybody in the same room at the same time anymore. I don't know what the deal is here, but we soldier on, and we soldier on with what may be the luckiest woman in the world to get us started here on a Friday Kevin and Bean show for the 25th of February. Ola, her name is Judy Stone. She's one of these people that you hear about that keeps winning the lottery over and over and over again.
Really.
And I know that there are people. I know that there are people who play a lot. You know, the people who, you know, in some cases spend more than they can afford. They're out there, you know, dropping $100 a week or something like that on lottery tickets because they feel like their time is going to come. And of course, mathematically, if you look at it logically, if you play with your brain, not with your heart, you should be stunned if you ever win the lottery because the odds are so much against you. And that's
why I think the majority of people who play the lottery a lot are people who can't afford it. I mean, I very rarely see like wealthy people cruising into the liquor store to pick up lottery tickets or playing Powerball or whatever.
Because it's their one way out.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. It's the only time they're ever going to have big money is if they win the lottery. And that's, of course, you know, that's the draw of it. That's the, That's the allure of the game. Yeah, people have said for a long time the lottery is a tax on dumb people, but I'd rather that than, you know, make it a voluntary tax like a lottery ticket than something that everybody has to pay whether they want to or not.
Plus, it gives you that moment to dream, you know?
Absolutely,
and that's important to be able to do that once in a while.
And the truth is, people win.
Right.
The truth is, for as stupid as it is to go out and put a bunch of money down to try to win the Powerball, every few weeks, somebody wins the Powerball, and now they've got $80 million in you don't.
No, so, good point.
I mean, it's not like you're always throwing money away. Somebody out there, it's their day. Well, this is Judy Stone, who's a grandmother from Duluth, Georgia. She just won $400,000 in the Georgia lottery. Let me see. She, in 2004, won $27,777 playing a scratcher game. She bought new furniture with that windfall. Then a year later, in 2005, she won $1 million. She had LASIK surgery and bought a new car. That was 2005. 2009, she won $100,000. Took a vacation in Puerto Rico that time around. And just last week, again, 62-year-old Judy Stone won $400,000 in the Georgia lottery. Has no plans for the money. Says this one she may put in the bank and save for her retirement.
Do you? Are you telling me she spent all the other money?
I don't. It doesn't say that. It just talks about the big ticket items that
she did.
Bought.
Because with. I mean, a million, she'd still keep like 60% of that.
Yeah, you would hope so, right? You would hope that she didn't blow it
after. I mean, after taxes, and even if you did a lot, you'd still. God, I hope have some money left.
She said LASIK in a car. So unless she got LASIK with gold needles and instruments, and then bought a Maybach, there's something left over.
Have money left. I always wonder when you win $3 million, why you buy another ticket.
That's what I'm wondering too. Because, and I guess it doesn't matter. The lottery gods, the numbers gods, don't know who's won and who hasn't won. So your odds are as good winning the next time you buy a ticket as they were playing the ticket that just won. But I would think because people are wrapped up in the karma that I would think people would go, well, I'm not going to win again. It's unlikely that I'll hit, lightning in a bottle.
That's what I would think. And I think, let someone else win.
I think it's separate from the money. Just like I have buddies that didn't start gambling until they actually won something.
Oh,
really? They fool around with it, and once in a while when they're in Vegas, then they hit, $10,000 on a roulette wheel, and now they're addicted to gambling.
Maybe it's
like, hey, man, if I have, $1 million on the lottery, that buzz that I got, that charge from people paying attention to me, I'm not going to give that up.
Yeah. Well, and there's no reason for her to quit because she keeps winning.
Yeah.
Someone needs to marry that old woman.
Now, and I hope it's me.
I'll break her off.
I'll move to Georgia if that's what it takes. She's 62. How long could she have?
Exactly.
Although as lucky as she is, she'll probably live to be 120, and then that'll be a curse on me as I'll be long dead. I think you might be right. I think it might be such a thrill that you think, hey, it happened once. I'm going to go for it again because I love it so.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sure that there are a lot of people in her life and in her town who play the lottery always and never win, who just must be looking at her just shaking their head going, what is going on here?
Yeah. I hate her personally. That's my feeling.
Crazy times. All right. Let's look ahead on today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
I do not really understand what is going on right now. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, you must keep going.
All right. We will totally do that. There's a little girl in Mexico who is obsessed with the royal wedding. And I think we're at 62 days out, by the way, for Will and Kate. Obsessed with the royal wedding so much that she believes she needs to be there. She wants an invitation. So she has gone on a hunger strike. Because that'll work, right?
Yes.
Isn't she like 10 or something, Michael? She's like 10, right?
I believe so. She's not an adult. I know that. That's
right,
all I know.
Right. So in her mind, the phone will ring and it will be the queen going, come on over for the wedding. You're hungry. So we'll talk about that and figure out what that deal is. It seems ill-advised, I guess is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
We've got Matt Achte on the phone today. He is the editor of a great website for movie fans called Rotten Tomatoes. He'll have his Oscar predictions for you since the big show is Sunday night. We got tons of audio from Charlie Sheen, who gave not only the most explosive of his latest radio interviews yesterday on a program in San Francisco hosted by Alex Jones, but he maybe has given the most explosive interview ever given by anyone ever. It's unbelievable. And Mike, I know you and Dr. Drew talked about it on the Love Line last night. I'm dying to hear from you later when we play this tape what Drew's take is, because he's seen all kinds of people who have been fueled by alcohol and drugs.
Right.
Where's this coming from? It's shocking. It's unbelievable. In Charlie Sheen's mind, he's a winner. Everyone else in the world is a loser.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He's
that is a wacky take on it. But really analyze, you know, his money and his resources and mm-hmm. the amount of yes men that he has around him
and how long he's been able to go without really yes. consequences.
I can see how he can feel that way.
He just yeah. feels untouchable. Yeah.
He's living in a funhouse mirror, that's for sure. So we got the highlights of the Charlie Sheen tape for you today. Of course, it's Friday. That means we got the movie beat. LaQuisha will be. Oh, I guess LaQuisha will not be. Jimmy Kimmel will be on talking about his Oscar special after the Academy Awards this Sunday night. Our friend Andrew Siciliano is going to be in talking about the NBA trade deadline and some of the very surprising trades that were made this year. Also, what's going on in the NFL strike, a preview of baseball, a lot of great stuff happening in sports right now. College basketball playoffs right around the corner. So the Sis is going to be joining us later on today. And I think we're going to be talking to those guys who are trying to make the movie, the documentary about Adam West and his efforts to get, well, his fans' efforts to get him a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame,
okay.
which we are willing to support and do everything we can to help him out with because the dude certainly deserves it. He, of course, TV's original Batman. So that's a lot of show, and it all starts up right after this with somebody doing the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Neon Trees, also Foo Fighters, 30 Seconds to Mars, all coming up on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 5:50. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. So, time for the Showbiz Beat. Give me that music. Let's talk Charlie Sheen for just a minute. Two and a Half Men is done for the season. Charlie Sheen did one too many radio interviews where he called names to the producer, Chuck Lorre, and the other people who work on that show. And basically, they pulled the plug on it yesterday and said they're not going to make any more episodes. Now, that doesn't mean it's been canceled. Doesn't mean that they couldn't work it all out. It didn't sound like that was likely based on the way Charlie Sheen was talking yesterday. Here's a tiny clip of him describing the people that he is forced to work with in the brutal environment of television, making his number one sitcom, Two and a Half Men, and only making $1.2 million a year. Here's a little bit of Charlie Sheen and how he sees himself versus the rest of the world.
I'm tired. I'm so tired of pretending like my life isn't perfect and bitching and just winning every second. And I'm not perfect and bitching and just delivering the goods at every freaking turn because look what I'm dealing with, man. I'm dealing with fools and trolls. You know, dealing with soft targets, and it's just, you know, it's just strafing runs in my underwear before my first cup of coffee because I don't have time for these clowns. I don't have time for their judgment and their stupidity, and, you know, they lay down with their ugly wives in front of their ugly children and just look at their loser lives, and then they look at me and they say, I can't process it. Well, no, and you never will. Stop trying. Just sit back and enjoy the show.
Okay. Wow.
What's, Psycho Mike, I'm dying to hear what Dr. Drew had to say. You guys listened to the rant last night, talked about it on Loveline. What's his professional opinion? Because he's dealt with a lot of delusional behavior from addicts.
That's what I think he thought it was, and I agree that it is. It's delusional. He's reached mania. He's just beyond the point of any kind of semblance of sanity. I believe he's not on drugs. I think with his legal situation, he's probably submitting urine tests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, he's just so far gone. And like his homeostasis for 25 years is with a ton of blow and booze in his body.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going at it in all the wrong ways, going at sobriety in all the wrong ways. And his mind is just, it's gone. He's melting right in front of our
eyes.
What
causes the scorched earth policy of I'm going to hate on everything in my life and try to burn every bridge I can so that down the road I can't do anything with anyone ever? Where's that coming from?
You're assuming he's self-destructive. Straight.
Yeah, I don't think he's trying to burn bridges. I think he believes in his head that the world's out to get him and that he is the savior of Two and a Half Men and that all these people really are kind of in the wrong. And he's just letting you know how he feels. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Lisa's right. He doesn't have any reason to believe otherwise because he's super duper rich.
Right.
He commits serious crimes and doesn't go to jail or really get in trouble or really get any hot water with the public.
Yeah, and CBS keeps putting him back on his show until yesterday.
He can engage in these almost surreal situations on a whim, like flying out Brian Williams of the San Francisco Giants.
Brian Wilson, and
show off his Babe Ruth 1927 World Series ring and screen Major League to a collection of his favorite Major League Baseball players. And call into random, you know, nationally syndicated radio shows. I mean, he just lives this this.
He does whatever the hell he wants.
This crazy life, and he has no consequences, so he's just gone over the deep end.
And you know, when you watch people on Celebrity Rehab, you see them go through sort of a manic state, too, when they're coming off drugs. They get really crazy for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's under controlled circumstances.
The first two or three days in rehab, when you're trying to, like, kind of gather your thoughts and really wrap your head around being normal, it's hard. You do go through these near manic kind of episodes, and that's me. I was like a normal guy. I was a young kid.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if you're a multi millionaire that everybody knows and everybody's kind of focusing on, it's amplified, and gone, man.
We've got tons more tape from the interview that we'll play for you next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But even after that interview and TMZ, reports that they've pulled the plug, Charlie Sheen sends a letter to TMZ, an open letter to the world, including, again, Chuck Lorre, the producer of Two and a Half Men, where he calls Chuck Lorre a contaminated little maggot. He calls him an earthworm. He says, I wish him nothing but pain for his silly travels. And here's my favorite part from the open letter that Charlie sends to TMZ. I urge all my beautiful and loyal fans who embraced this show for almost a decade to walk with me side by side as we march up the steps of justice to right this unconscionable wrong. So he's basically saying the fact that the network pulled the plug on the TV show is now, a violation of his civil rights, and it's time to march arm in arm to Selma, Alabama? What the hell is going on here?
I don't know. I mean,
crazy times. Crazy times. Anyway, more of that next hour for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Another showbiz news. Speaking of celebrities and getting clean, David Arquette made his appearance, his long-awaited promoted appearance on the Oprah Show this week. I did not watch it, but this was the first time he has given details about what sent him to rehab. He says that his friends and family, including ex-wife Courtney Cox, staged an intervention with him, that he woke up from a nap, and there was Courtney Cox, there was his sister Patricia, his best friends, his business partners. They all said, look, you've got to be clean and sober. You've got to go to rehab. He says that he is clean. He said that he is a lifelong addict, that he chugged beer for the first time at the age of 4, that he was stealing marijuana from his parents at the age of 8, and they had a serious drinking problem by the time he started high school. So the fact that he ended up doing as well as he did with his career before it finally crashed and burned around him is pretty impressive. I mean, because the guy has had a load on since he was a little kid.
So he'd never done rehab before this?
Apparently not.
Wow. That is impressive.
Yeah. So, I guess those interventions are not just for TV. I guess they really do happen.
Yeah.
The internet was abuzz yesterday, and I hope David King of Mexico works fast to get the trailer for The Hangover Part 2 up at KevinandBean.com today, because you guys have to see this. Of course, it's one of the most successful movies ever made, and one of the most anticipated sequels certainly coming out this year. Bradley Cooper's back, Ed Helms, Zach Galifianakis. The trailer shows them walking through Thailand with a monkey. Apparently, Alan's hair has been shaved off. Stu seems to have gotten a Mike Tyson tattoo on him, and they just look like a wreck. It looks so funny. They don't actually, as far as you know, show you any scenes from what goes on in the movie, but just those guys in another situation where things get crazy and out of control. I can't wait. I don't know how you top the first movie. I mean, The Hangover was almost so good that you look at it and go, please don't screw with it.
Yeah.
Please don't try again and make some lame sequel.
That was my feeling.
But, I mean, because once you've done Mike Tyson and a tiger in a hotel room, where do you go from there, right?
Well, if there's any place to top it, it's Thailand.
Yeah, exactly. It's Thailand. Anyway, you got to see the trailer for The Hangover 2. It's due Memorial Day weekend. And one more note for this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, the Academy Awards are happening on Sunday night. It's, next to the Super Bowl. It's the biggest television event of the year. They have made some changes this year. In addition to not going with comedy hosts, of course, actor James Franco and actress Anne Hathaway are going to be your hosts. They are eliminating the pointless movie montages this year. Remember last year they had that salute to horror movies that kind of was just out of nowhere?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really have anything to do with any of the movies that were nominated. They are, of course, still going to be showing clips from the nominated films. They have that idea that they tried for the last couple years of 5 presenters going on stage to offer tributes to the Best Actor and Actress nominations. That's gone. They're not going to be doing that this year. They are, however, and this may be bad news, bringing back the performances of the nominated songs. Gwyneth Paltrow is going to be singing Coming Home, which is her song nominated from the film Country Strong. Our friend Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine is going to be performing the song from 127 Hours that is nominated, called If I Rise.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Mandy Moore is going to be singing I See the Light, which is a nominated film from a song from the animated film Tangled. And Randy Newman is back with another Pixar song, this one from Toy Story 3. He'll be performing We Belong Together. So we are going to see that. If you're heading to Las Vegas, The Social Network is still the favorite to win, although I don't know of a single critic who's not picking The King's Speech as the winner for the Best Picture. But Social Network, King's Speech, then The Fighter, then True Grit are your top four with the Vegas odds. All right, today's celebrity birthdays are somewhere here on the thing. Rashida Jones. Who is so unbelievably hot and funny on Parks and Recreation.
Isn't she? I love
her. She's so great on that show and, of course, was equally good on The Office. She turns 35 years old today. Actor Sean Astin is 40 today. It's a shame that Ralph is not here today, or maybe this is the reason Ralph is not here today, because his ultimate foe in Hollywood, Chelsea Handler, has a birthday today. She turns 36 years old today.
36?
That's what she's claiming.
Yeah, really? Why? Just say you're 18. Why? You're, I mean, come on.
Actress Taya Leone, he still looks awesome for 45 years old today. Carrot Top celebrates his birthday today. Come on.
There it is.
And former Celebrity Apprentice contestant and beautiful WWE diva Maria Kanellis has a birthday today, and she is 29, and that is the Showbiz Beat. How about Foo Fighters in the Swiss Alps? It's the grand prize of the K-Rock World Tour 2011, destination number 5. You qualify today and all weekend long here on the world-famous K-Rock, so keep on listening. It's 6:07. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, so this royal wedding coverage is getting out of control, Lisa. Although I did see, I saw my first story about the pushback to the coverage yesterday, and I was very pleased about that. For folks who haven't been with us the last couple of weeks, it's just been driving us crazy because every single day, all day long on all the networks, they do these crazy stories about leading to the royal wedding, which is still over 2 months away. Now, this is Prince Charles' son, William, marrying his girlfriend, Kate, and they're getting married in April sometime. And every single day, there's more coverage about the dress and about the food and about the invitations and the plans and the honeymoon and this and that. Yesterday, I saw a guy is selling barf bags with royal wedding stuff on them for people who are sick of the coverage. And I thought, that's a step in the right direction.
Good for him.
Finally, we got somebody who says, if you're tired to death of how much this is on your TV, at least now here's an appropriate place to vomit. And apparently, they're just selling big time. So congratulations to that guy. Here's a young lady in the news today who's so excited about the royal wedding and is so desirous of being there in person that she has decided to go on a hunger strike. She is a 19-year-old Mexican teenager who is basically laying out in front of the British Embassy in Mexico City on a hunger strike until she gets an invitation.
Well, that should do it.
That should definitely
right?
do it.
Yeah.
Her name is Estebala Chavez. She doesn't have any connection to the royal family or to the Mexican government or to the British government. There's no way in a million, billion, trillion years that she has a right to be invited to the wedding, but she just wants to go. So she's on a hunger strike. She has not eaten for 15 days.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Trying to get invited. Are they going to let me die just because they wouldn't give me an invitation to the royal wedding is what she wrote on one of the flyers that she's planted next to the British Embassy. So we thought we got to find out what's going on with this crazy broad. So let's bring Estebala Chavez onto the show here on the Kevin and Bean program right now from Mexico City. Hi, Estebala. How are you?
Oh, hello. Are we on the radio, fool?
Yes, we're on the radio.
Scandalous.
Scandalous indeed.
Oh, mira.
Estebalas, are they going to let you die because they won't give you an invitation to the royal wedding? The answer to that question is yes. Yes, they are.
I'm like so crazy hungry. I'm scandalous hungry.
Well, you have
to
be.
I'm like losing stupid weight. My nalgas are not like coming out the bottom of my shorts no more. I'm getting so skinny. And I just want to go to the scandalous party so bad. You know, it seems like it's going to be a lot of good people there. And like,
right.
I lost my job and like, I don't have continuation school no more. So it's like, I just want to go to a stupid England. Stupid.
Okay.
Mira.
It is stupid. Here's where we're saying you have no business being at the wedding. Look, you can't just crash somebody, some celebrity's wedding because you think it would be fun to be there.
No, I can. It's, I like, one time me and Misty and Mousy Girl, we wanted to go to George Lopez's birthday party. So we just kind of like waited out front with the bottles of the Bacardis and they let us in because I look fly. I got my nails done and my eyebrows redid. And right. I traded in my chanclas for the Pele shoes and the high heels. I look good. And like, I feel like I could go because I was a big fan of, como se dice, Princess Dies.
Yes, and Princess Di was your favorite, right?
Oh, the best. I even got a tattoo of her on my belly, and I look so pretty. I want to show the prince and the princess and the queens and everyone that I got the tattoo. Scandalous. It's Princess Di's But she's like the Virgin Mary, but she also has a Dodger hat on. Crazy.
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
It's so pretty. Stupid.
So you thought that Princess Diana was one of the most interesting women in history, one of the best, one of the most beautiful, and that when your mom died, you promised yourself that you would attend Princess Diana's son's wedding. That's so convoluted, I can barely follow it, Estebales.
I said to my mom, I say, I can either go to her daughter's son's stupid wedding, or I want to be the host of Blue's Clues.
One of those two things? I don't get the connection to either one of those.
I don't know, but I love that show. I used to watch it with my three little children.
And oh, you
I
have three kids.
Blue's Clues. Oh, I not only do I have three kids, somehow on this crazy, stupid hunger strike, I'm pregnant again.
Oh no.
Come on, Estebales. Look,
so many people walking by. Some of them are handsome.
Right, but you're 19 years old. Maybe
I got started a little late in life. But
no,
whatever.
I'm saying early.
It's never too late to like have another little baby. And like I can name him Angel or Lito or Clown or Bum. Or
name him Clown.
Fernando after Fernando Falazuela or Julio.
Estebales. Listen.
Or Little Trigger, or Little Trigger numero dos, like Joker, or maybe
Estebales,
the Reaper.
Listen. You haven't eaten in 15 days. You sound like you're getting delirious. You have to give this up. This is crazy. There's no sense hurting yourself and leaving your poor little kids without a mother. Come on.
It makes it worse that all the vatos in the neighborhood keep coming by throwing food at me. So, I know chili relleno in my face and then, the burritos in my dome. You know, I feel
so
bad.
You do have food.
But I can't eat it because I'm on a hunger strike.
You're on a hunger strike.
My hair looks fly.
Okay, well, that's the important thing. And how long before we go here, Estebales, how long do you plan to keep this hunger strike up? I mean, will you literally die for the cause, or at some point are you going to go, well, it's not working, I give up?
Well, I'm willing, scandalous, to stay here until I get an invitation to the party or, the Raiders get a better quarterback.
Okay, one of those two things has to happen, and then you'll go back to eating.
Oh, scandalous.
Finally, Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Got the movie beat coming up for you next Saturday to talk about this weekend's films, including Drive Angry, which is one of the best titles ever, especially when you find out that Nicolas Cage is starring in it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How awesome must that be? And by awesome, of course, I mean terrible. Speaking of movies that are good, we'll all be tuning in this Sunday night on ABC for the 83rd Annual Academy Awards. The young man who is going to be there in person is our friend Matt Achety. He is the editor-in-chief of RottenTomatoes.com, which is the website, as far as I'm concerned, for movie criticism. If you're thinking about going to see something, find out what all the critics are saying about it. And Matt, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Hey, going to the Oscars, covering the Oscars, that's a pain in the ass. That's not nearly as much fun as sitting at home on your couch and just snarking on it, right?
Exactly. It's awful. You know, I got to put a tux on. I got to go show up. It's pretty fun. My only complaint is that they don't serve booze to the press.
Oh, that doesn't. That seems ill-advised.
Exactly.
So after somebody wins a statue and they walk off the stage, they immediately take them into the press room to do kind of a press conference, right? And they take questions from the assembled. And you're one of the guys who, for instance, will be, interviewing whoever wins the Oscars that night.
Yes. I'll be backstage and, there's a room. It's a ballroom at the next to the Kodak Theater in the hotel. And, we all get a little card, or not a little card, a big card with a number on it. It's almost like, auction bidding. You have to hold your number up and hope that the guy running the show will call your number so you can ask your question.
I see.
It's pretty cool. There's probably 150 of us in there, and so everybody's kind of fighting for questions for various people. And you kind of feel bad for people who, direct some of the smaller pieces like the best shorts and that kind of thing, because typically hardly anyone wants to ask them questions.
Yeah.
The best actor comes back, or the best director, and everyone's mobbing them, trying to get questions in.
Of course. Now, the Oscars, of course, are the end of the award season, and I like the show. I look forward to the show. I understand the weight that goes along with winning an Academy Award. I mean, it is an award that really does mean something. But I'm so burned out on award shows by the time we get to the Oscars. And I think some of the fun of the Oscars has been taken out of the fact that we've seen these same actors and actresses, these same directors, and these same pictures up for, it seems like, 20 televised shows in the last 3 months. You get any feeling of that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the Oscars, the Academy definitely wants to be safe. They've gone with James Franco and Anne Hathaway, who are safe choices for hosts. You know, you're not seeing a Ricky Gervais type up there. You know, they want someone that's going to treat them, you know, there's going to be a certain amount of dignity, or at least faux dignity, that happens. So they're not trying to do any, you know, I'll put it this way. This is really the night for the Academy to really honor their own and get all glammed up and really, you know, pretend, or if not pretend, you know, pass themselves off as this really glamorous, really important group. And, you know, so you get this show that's 3-4 hours. I mean, the reality is, you know, you and I both know they could do this thing in 30-40 minutes if they wanted to.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I love how even these major award shows like the Grammys have really done a good job of reinventing themselves and making a far more entertaining television show. And the way they've done it is by cutting out most of the BS awards that we don't care about. The Oscars refuses to do that. There's going to be a stretch in the middle that's going to be deadly dull. That's going to be about an hour and 20 minutes, and it's going to be sound and production people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is, you know, and the best animated short, and, you know,
right,
best live
exactly.
action short, best documentary short, all of these kind of obscure awards with films that people don't know, you know, which is part of why they went to 10 nominees for Best Picture, because they wanted to make sure that the audience in the rest of the country is at least interested in tuning in, because hopefully there's movies that people have seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to ask you if you thought that that was a good move, or do you think it waters down the how impressive it is to be nominated for a Best Picture Oscar anymore?
You know, I don't know that it waters it down, but I think that the mistake that they made is that they didn't do 10 nominees for Best Director. Because if the conventional wisdom, which has always been that if you're not nominated for Best Director, you're not going to win Best Picture, you could immediately look at 5 nominees and say, well, those movies aren't going to win.
Oh, interesting.
Right? This year, you know Toy Story 3 is not going to win. You know that Winter's Bone isn't going to win. You know that The Kids Are All Right isn't going to win, because none of them got nominated for Best Director.
That's right. Let's talk about the big themes of if it's likely to be a runaway for the King's Speech or not. I mean, a few months ago, everybody would have put money down on The Social Network winning Best Picture. It seems like the tide has turned with some of the other critics' awards. How are you feeling about that for Best Picture, and how that's going to translate to all the other categories it's nominated in?
You know, I don't think it's going to be a runaway, although I think we may get some early indications. And I think one of the things to watch for is the Best Supporting Actor Oscar. Everybody will say right now that that's going to Christian Bale for The Fighter, which I agree with. But if we see Jeffrey Rush pull that award, or if we see Helena Bonham Carter pull it for Best Supporting Actress, then mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a runaway in every other category, including
wow.
Best Director.
Wow, how about that? Yeah, and by the way, The King's Speech, although, I mean, that's the kind of movie that you have to be such a skilled director in order to make it entertaining on the screen, because it's basically just people standing around talking.
I agree. Although, we're actually predicting that as much as Best Picture is going to go to The King's Speech, I actually have a feeling this is going to be the rare year that you see a split, and I think David Fincher is going to walk home with the award for Best Director for The Social Network. I think that they're really close, and I think that the Academy is going to come down on Fincher's side for directing, but in general, the Best Picture actor is going to go, or Best Picture award is going to go to King's Speech.
We're talking to Matt Achtee on the phone here. He, of course, the editor-in-chief of the great website that does movie reviews, RottenTomatoes.com. Do you get to vote for the Oscars, Matt?
No.
Yes, and that's not the type of thing you can lobby for either. They choose you, right?
They choose you. You know, there's about 5,000 people in the Academy, and the qualifications for being invited are relatively obscure. You have to be invited by the group, but each branch of the Academy has its own rules for invitation. You know, there's an acting group, there's a producers group, there's a directors group. The biggest group is the acting group. I bring that up because you can watch the SAG Awards, and that's usually a pretty good indicator of how the awards are going to go on Oscar night, because the Academy's acting branch is the biggest constituency.
Right, gotcha. All right, fantastic stuff. And, of course, you'll have all the coverage as it unfolds on the website, RottenTomatoes.com. I hope you have a great time out there. I hope you can steal somebody's Oscar. That'd be fun. And we always enjoy your input and love the site. And thank you so much for coming on the Kevin Bean Show, man. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Jared's so pretty.
I was waiting for some sort of noise to come from your side of the room when your sweet love, Jared Leto, is on the radio.
Oh, it's so pretty.
It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. Thanks for listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is 637. It's Friday. We got the movie beat coming up later on for you to do later on today. Also, we're going to be talking to the guys who are trying to get Adam West's star quest on the Hollywood Walk of Fame made into a motion picture, which I think is a great idea. Man, I want Adam West to live so long to see that day.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Charlie Sheen, ladies and gentlemen.
Delicious.
So delicious.
Yeah.
This is one of the biggest, I mean, I want to call it a celebrity meltdown. Charlie Sheen would say he's finally seeing and speaking the truth. If you didn't follow the news much yesterday, they did pull the plug on the remaining episodes that were scheduled to be filmed for Two and a Half Men. They haven't 100% closed the door on coming back and making that show again next season. Charlie Sheen's the highest paid actor on television. And as you pointed out last hour, Lisa, he's been skating for a long time in terms of being able to do whatever he wants to do and get away with it with virtually no repercussions. Well, he has just had an assful of everyone in the world. And he calls into a radio show called Alex Jones, who's on in the Bay Area. Very popular internet guy. He's a crazy, kooky conspiracy guy. And by the way, if I ever get to the point, Psycho Mike, that you hear me on the radio talking like Alex Jones talks, with that voice, if you ever hear me talking like this on the radio, hey, Charlie Sheen, thanks a lot for calling.
Yeah.
I want you to come and I want you to strangle me to death with your bare hands. Would you do that for me?
It's time to take you out when you get to that point. No problem.
It's time to take me out. Right. So we'll play as much as we have time for. Here's a little bit of Charlie talking about the new look on life he has, his new motto, how things are going to be for Charlie Sheen now that he's, you know, clean and sober with the home rehab. Listen up.
My motto now is you either love or you hate, and you must do so violently. And the reason you must hate violently is because, and you have to hate everybody that's not in your family, because they're there to destroy your family. And they will come at you in all forms and shapes. And therefore, there's nothing in the middle. I don't live in the middle anymore. That's where you get slaughtered. That's where you get embarrassed in front of the prom queen. And it's just not an option. So, you know, within that is tremendous focus and tremendous clarity and tremendous peace, because you have absolute and total resolve about your decisions. If you love with violence and you hate with violence, there's nothing that can be questioned. And people say, oh, you know, you've got to work through your resentments. Yeah, no, I'm going to hang on to them, and they're going to fuel my attack, and they're going to fuel the battle cry of my deadly and dangerous secret and silent soldiers. Because they're all around you.
Okay. What's
does he think he lives in Beowulf or something? All those not in my family I shall hate violently, for they are out to destroy me.
He does sound like he's a UFC fighter who is just trying to psych himself up for the next fight. I mean, he makes it sound like every time he walks out his door, people, for no reason, are doing everything they can to bring him down. That he's just quietly, unassumedly living his life in a peaceful way. He's not hurting anybody. He's not causing any trouble. But everybody's hating on him and coming down on him all the time, so he has to fight back. And he's tired of it. He's tired of the terrible way he's been treated, you guys.
Paranoia has got to be part of being crazy like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, you do even like a marginal amount of stimulants, you get paranoid. If you do suitcases full of pure cocaine like Charlie Sheen for long periods of time, he's probably just off his rocker. He's like turning into Tony Montana.
Here's a little bit of the tape that actually ended up to the decision of the plug being pulled on Two and a Half Men. Now, for whatever reason, Chuck Lorre, who was one of the most successful television producers in town, has made a dozen hit shows, including Two and a Half Men. For whatever reason, Charlie has decided that this dude is the enemy, because this dude is trying to get Charlie clean and have him come back to work so that hundreds of people who work on Two and a Half Men can also make a living. Charlie Sheen just unloads on him. And also on other people who are producing the show and, in his view, are telling him what the hell to do all the time. Listen up.
It's just if I bring up these turds, these little homunculus losers, there's no reason to then, you know, bring them back into the fold, because I have real fame. They have nothing. They have zero. They have that night, and I will forget about them as the last image of them exits my beautiful home. And they will get out there and they will sell me, and then they will lose. And they will lose the rest of their lives as they think about me and my life the rest of their life. So it's just, there's no, it's, again, bring me a challenge, somebody. Bring me a freaking challenge, because, you know, it just ain't there. Winning.
But you're ready to go back to work right now.
Well, yeah, but Alex, I gotta tell you, man, and you know, I'm tired of being told, like, oh, you can't talk about that, you can't talk about that. Bull S, let me just say this, that it's nothing this side of deplorable that a certain Haim Levine, yeah, that's Chuck's real name, mistook this rock star for his own selfish exit strategy, bro. Check it, Alex. I embarrassed him in front of his children and the world by healing at a pace that, his unevolved mind cannot process. Okay, last I checked, Haim, I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold. And the gratitude I get in this is this charlatan chose not to do his job, which is to write. Clearly someone who believes he is above the law. Well, you've been warned, dude. Bring it.
Our Charlie Sheen. Kevin joins us in studio now.
How dare you?
Kevin, your thoughts.
Wow, this is shocking. And
is it the greatest thing you've ever heard in your life?
It's shocking, but it's not surprising at all.
That he'd be this crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just finally came out. I mean, he's, he's been on the edge of crazy for the last 2 weeks.
But what is so frustrating for me is, and he's, look, he's a talented guy. And he is the draw of Two and a Half Men. But he makes it sound like he's untouchable. He's everything on that show. And all of the other people that work, including and especially the writers, do nothing to contribute to the success of that show. It's all because Charlie Sheen is great. That's the only reason that show has been so popular and has been on the air.
You can also hear in his language, he's lashing out against the idea of recovery as well. When he said earlier on about how they tell him how he should get in touch with and get rid of his resentments, and that he's going to hold on to those so that he can, you know, kind of lash out. And it sounds to me as if this head writer was one of the guys who kind of tried to impose the idea of the real 12-step upon him, because
put him in rehab. Exactly.
You could hear this horrible, horrible resentment.
Well, we have way more, and this is the only other clip we'll have time for here, but we have more for you later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Charlie Sheen again talking to Alex Jones on the radio yesterday about Alcoholics Anonymous, about how that's not for him and his way is so much better. And, I mean, this honestly is the most shocking tape of all to me.
Charlie Sheen, you wanted to talk about AA because, you know, when I was at your house, I said, man, great job being completely sober and, you know, how important it was.
But I can't use the word sober because that's a term from those people. And I have cleansed myself. I closed my eyes and it's a nanosecond. I cured myself from this ridiculous model of disease and addiction and obsession. It's just,
by the way, that is how it works, right, Mike? You've been through recovery. You just close your eyes and you heal yourself, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, it's instantaneous. You just close your eyes.
It's just morbid sissies.
Whoa.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning. You know, this bootleg cult, you know, arrogantly referred to as Alcoholics Anonymous, Alex supports a 5% success rate. My success rate is 100%. Do the math. Take, for instance, its founder, a desperate and, I don't know, broken down plagiarist, stayed high on acid until the day he died. I can't seem to find that chapter in his silly book of lies. And then, Alex, try to get your mind around this as a fellow warrior deep in the trenches. Their entire manifesto is built upon a complete and total surrender, or the concept of complete and total surrender. They urge you to put down your sword and come join the winners. In 22 years, the only winners I could locate in their toothless warren were either driving a convertible van or living like trolls under some abandoned bridge. Another one of their stupid mottos, Alex, is don't be special, be one of us. Newsflash, I am special, and I will never be one of you. But I dare anyone to debate me on things. Debate me on AA right now. I have a disease, book, I cured it with my brain, with my mind. I'm cured, I'm done. Well, we all have to sit in here and touch ourselves and frown. Well, you know, you don't look like you're having a lot of fun. I'm going to hang out with these two smoking hotties and fly privately around the world. You know, it might be lonely up here, but I sure like the view, Alex.
Look, I don't watch. Wow. I don't watch Two and a Half Men, and I won't miss it. But if somebody doesn't give Charlie Sheen a 24/7 reality show, I would never stop watching that.
Yeah,
honestly.
That's true.
And I want it to stream to the internet live at all times. I don't want it just to be edited up and give me a half hour a week. I want to see every second of however many months Charlie Sheen has left to live, because that would be fascinating.
Mike, you know a lot about this. Is this minutes away from his low? I mean, is this the fight on the way down?
That's the thing.
Or is he nowhere near that?
With a guy like Charlie Sheen, who knows where the depths are that his rock bottom is, because he is so...
He seems to be lashing out and angry and all that kind of stuff.
He's so capable of doing whatever he wants to do. He may not have a rock bottom. And you're exactly right, Kevin. The basis of you know, the program and the 12 steps is rigorous honesty, not only with everybody else around you, but most importantly with yourself. And this is a guy who's clearly not at all in touch with really what's going on in his own brain and his own mind. And he can sit there and say, oh, well, I'm flying around the world with these hotties. Yeah, you are. And that seems great from an outsider's point of view. But really, how much pain is going on inside Charlie Sheen? But, I mean, this can't be a happy existence.
But if he really believes that he's better than everyone.
Right.
I'm special and you, and
there
no
may be
one
no pain
is
going on.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a guy who's very, very ill. I mean, mentally, and I hope for the best with him, but it doesn't look good. I mean, he is really, we are listening to a guy who is engaged in absolute mania. It's really crazy.
And his scorched earth policy about everything, hating on everything that's not him, you know, or people directly, you know, in his bed. It's just, I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing. We got plenty more tape coming up throughout the day here on the Kevin Bean Show. You definitely don't want to miss it. I'm no doctor. I think he sounds fine. I think you guys are overreacting.
He does seem energetic and, you know, more focused than
ever. A lot of vim and vigor.
Yeah.
Showbiz Beat coming up next at the
to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:56.
Oh, look,
Ralph Garman's out. Oh, yes, Alex. Have you met Kevin? He's a new guy on the show.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, he just started today. Ralph is out sick for today, so Alex, the producer, is filling in for the Showbiz Beat this hour. And as I understand, you bring presents.
I do. I'm like a Santa for Showbiz. I have two pairs of tickets for you to the Paley Fest 2011. It's March 4th through the 17th at the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills. I went 2 years ago, and it was awesome. It's sort of like
we have a winner, believe it or not.
How we do a breakfast with a band, they do it with a TV show, and it's great. I've got tickets for Community. It's on March 15th, and I have a little trivia question for you.
We got a winner!
No, not yet. You have to answer the question. Nelly. Joel McHale is one of our friends and also one of the stars of Community on NBC.
And gay.
Joel hosts another show on the E! Network. This is easy, people. This is where he started.
Yeah.
Tell me the name of his show on E! And you'll get to go. Bean just played earlier the magical tape of the Charlie Sheen breakdown. He is crazy.
That's really unbelievable.
Winning.
My favorite highlights are Alcoholics Anonymous is a bootleg cult. Check.
Uh-huh.
He's compared himself to Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now. Check.
Uh-huh.
On whether or not he has a disease, BS, he says, I cured it with my mind.
Wow.
Check. CBS and Warner Brothers official response is, based on the totality of Charlie Sheen's statements, conduct and condition, CBS and Warner Brothers TV have decided to discontinue production of 2.5 Men for the remainder of this season. No word on
it. I feel bad for all of those people.
Oh, I know.
I feel bad for the crew.
That aren't him, yeah.
Because he's just basically given them the middle finger. And decided to go party on a tropical island, which I'm sure his 5 children appreciate.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's good times. The LAPD is keeping a close eye on Sharon Stone's house. This is very scary. There is a stalker that Sharon found in her home.
In.
Showed up at her house about 2 weeks ago. She walked in, crazy guy named Bradley Godin, just sitting in her house. He told police officers he traveled from Ohio because he believes that his mother, who is Hillary Clinton...
Uh-huh.
Bought him the house from Sharon as a present.
Reasonable.
He told the cops, it's now my house. I live here.
Well, so he's not stalking her. He just believes her house is his.
Well, his mom, Hillary Clinton, bought all it right. from Sharon's mother. I mean, it's pretty reasonable. Hello?
It makes sense.
Poor Bradley was placed on a psychiatric hold and released 4 days ago, but the cops are patrolling around Sharon Stone's home 24/7 just to make sure he doesn't decide to, you know, crawl in the guest bedroom.
Or claim her car.
Exactly.
Didn't he also say, by the way, the same guy that you're describing, didn't he yeah. also say that he wrote the King's Speech when he was 2?
I did not hear that part
Something
of
that. Something else that he told the cops is, oh, and the King's Speech up for the Oscars this weekend? Yeah, I wrote that when I was 2.
Fantastic. Yeah.
He's the best.
Eiffel Tower built it.
Winning.
Winning. Yeah. David Arquette is now winning. He was just on Oprah talking about being sober for the first time in 30 years.
Dude.
He admitted he got the shock of his life when he woke up from a nap about 8 weeks ago to his sister, Patricia Arquette, and Courtney Cox staring over him in bed with a cup of coffee.
That's a
saying,
little freaky.
Would you mind coming downstairs for a minute? And he said he came downstairs and he knew 4 of the people and 1 guy he didn't know. And he knew, hey, you must be the interventionist.
Oh, no.
So he said the approach worked. He was actually ready for it. So he went into rehab. He's now clean and sober. He also admitted to Oprah that he started chugging beer at the age of 4.
Wow.
He stole marijuana from his dad at 8, and he had what he considers a serious drinking problem by the time he started high school.
Oh, man.
Wow. So he is a successful graduate of the Lohan plan.
Not the Sheen plan. He's weak.
Oh, no, yeah, weak sauce.
I didn't see the interview because, well, it was with Oprah. But I wonder what I'm sure it came up that he was in the press simultaneously saying, I love my wife and I can't wait to get back with her. And look at me, I'm banging everyone I meet. I'd love to know how he thinks those two things worked together.
Well, I will admit I watched it just because I'm fascinated by the Cox-Arquette debacle. And apparently what happened is they actually were separated for months. And then the press saw him out with another woman but didn't know they were separated.
Oh, I see.
And so then he called Courtney and said, okay, we have to tell people we're separated because people think I'm cheating. And he was really angry about that with Oprah. He said, I've never been a cheater, and suddenly I was a cheater. And he said that's why he was so angry, and he really called into Howard Stern to try to set the record
straight. So legitimately, they were on a break.
Yeah. They were yes, they were on a break. Life isn't easy when you're Johnny Depp. I had no idea that the man who has everything and that I and my grandmother, by the way, want to sleep with. We fight over Johnny Depp.
All generations.
Just so you know, that's the conversation in my house.
At the same time?
No.
You're the one that said it, not me.
No, I have to go first.
All right.
The Pirates of the Caribbean actor revealed to AbsoluteNow.com that his 11-year-old daughter, Lily Rose, has been lobbying her father, really wants him to record a duet with, any guesses?
Beats.
Willow?
Yes! No, Willow was good too. Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah.
But Johnny Depp admits he wouldn't match up to the teen sensation. But I would love to hear Johnny Depp and Justin Bieber. I know that's not popular. I know,
God.
Kevin. Justin Bieber makes me want to gouge my eyes out. Yeah. But Johnny Depp, I'm in.
Alex, you want to talk to your winner?
Yes, I do.
We have Julie for you on line 2.
Awesome.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, how are you guys?
Julie, what is the answer for me? What TV show does Joel McHale host on the E! Network?
One of our favorites, The Soup.
Yay! You're going to go check him out.
Winning.
At the Paley Fest on March 15th. Thank you. And thank
awesome.
You to Dan, who's also a winner on line 1. All right, celebrity birthdays today. Happy birthday to Alexis Denisoff from Buffy, Angel, Allison Hannigan's husband.
Is she hot? Should I be hitting a bell here?
That's a dude.
It's a dude, but
okay.
Yeah.
No,
that's up to you.
No worries. I'm sure he's a good-looking fella. Chelsea Handler is 36, question mark?
Nope.com.
Please.
I heard that and I went, girl, please.
Mike said earlier, just say you're 18, Chelsea, if you're going to lie.
Stop it. And to James and Oliver Phelps, better known as the Weasley brothers from Harry Potter. Happy birthday. Don't look disappointed in me. You just got here 20 minutes ago, Kevin. Stop it.
I'm just saying the level of excitement might be a little high for those.
The Weasley brothers are rad.
All right.
I wish they were, you know, existed in real life.
Sure.
My name is Alex. That is the Showbiz Beat.
Our friend Jimmy Kimmel has his 6th annual post-Oscar special on Sunday night. Remarkably, after the Academy Awards this year. How about that?
His post-Oscar show is after that?
Is after the Academy Awards, yeah. He's going to be joining us next hour to give us a preview of that here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Andrew Siciliano is going to be joining us in studio with an update on all the things going on in sports. And Ralph is out today, so Omar is going to be filling in on the movie beat coming up in about 15 minutes.
What?
All right.
Omar hates everything all the time, always, so I'm sure he's going to equally hate whatever new movies are opening up today. But anyway, he's got that for you coming up. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. It's our voice mailbox. You call us, leave a message. We play it back on the radio, and it goes a little something like this.
Well, and we always tease it by saying, any topic. I'd like to suggest maybe that's a bad policy, and we should put some rules on the topics after this dude.
Yep. Okay. Taking a...
Yeah, I'm going to second that.
Right?
I agree. We don't need... That's information that is not necessary for anybody.
If it involves your bowels, call someone else.
And by the way, that goes for the King of Mexico and his toilet tweeting, too. Not necessary.
But at least there's a follow-up. So you got that. So you got two different calls there. This is a... sometimes we like to get the band back together. It's usually during the month of October. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're talking about Melfon.
Sure.
And,
October's too long to wait. I'm missing Melfon. Melfon!
They did a poll at Entertainment Weekly of the bands you would most like to see get back together. Led Zeppelin came in at number one, but Melfon was number two, right behind him, right on their heels. So it's only a matter of time. When the money is right, I think you'll see the Melfon reunion you've been dreaming about.
Yeah, and I think they doctored that just because it was too embarrassing for...
Maybe so, yeah.
We also played you a really bad song from a local TV host here. She does a This Morning and Today kind of a show. And she wrote a song about it, and she raps, and she's just awful. I wanna shake you up from the Palisades to a Hollywood. So there's that, and then there's...
I hope Julian crashes her car and her coffee spills in her eyes while she's twittering and her phone goes down her mouth so she could die a very hot, painful, stupid death.
We all wish bad things for her once we heard that song, absolutely.
I like that hot and painful is not enough. It has to also be stupid. Her death. We were talking about people having sex in your house, and Bean kept threatening to derail the conversation with all of his nonsense. Mm-hmm.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Oops,
are
sorry.
You kidding me? You, America. You.
First, there's that, and then.
Do you guys have like headphones when you're listening to the radio? Hey, Lisa May, do me a favor. Can you put your headphones over your chest for just 1 second? Yeah, I'll give you a minute. All right, ready? Okay. I just want to let you know that.
Dude, you've been rowboated remotely. That's awesome.
I was unaware you could do that over the phone.
Apparently,
thanks
you
can. For opening my eyes.
Hey, yeah, take me home tonight. Cancel that. Let me bone in Bean's house tonight. Oh. Booyah!
Okay, that's here. Not you're not invited. Look, I don't want anyone to have sex in my house.
And yet
okay?
Now we all want to.
I know.
Bean, I caught your cold over the radio. I can't believe it, Bean. I'm so pissed at you.
In case you couldn't hear her, she caught Bean's cold over the radio.
How does that work?
I hope an eel crawls up your butt and eats your insides and you die. Or I hope that you die in your home and then your dogs, especially little Tater Tot, I hope they come and eat your face off and you die. Damn you, Bean.
Wait, because you have a cold, you hope I die?
Well, you gave it to her.
Okay.
I like that the first one she goes to, too, is the eel death.
Yeah, right.
Because the eel death is really popular right now. And then there's...
Damn you to hell, Ralph Garman. Damn you. With brown chicken, brown cow. I'm walking around my job now. Brown chicken, brown cow. You bastard.
Yeah, I did, too. I spent most of yesterday singing Brown Chicken, Brown Cow.
It's a terrible song. Ralph brought it in to say, stop in America. Here's the kind of music we should no longer be making, and now nobody can think of anything else.
Mama Joe and Betty got a real nice farm. Everybody knows that they work real hard.
Well, aren't you just contributing to the problem here now, Kevin?
Bobby Joe sweating in the noonday sun.
Yes. I want other people to suffer.
Betty right beside him till the work's all done. Every now and then they get a strong desire to crawl up in the hay and set the barn on fire. Now the hay needs hauling, the hogs need stop, the corn needs cutting, but the tractor stop. They're climbing up the ladder, clear to the loft, shucking those dirty old work clothes off, singing brown chicken, brown cow.
So that exists and is real.
No.
That's real.
No.
That's a real country song. That's not a comedy piece. It's not Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
This is some dude named Trace Adkins, and he has written a song called Brown Chicken, Brown Cow.
Brown Chicken, Brown Cow.
I believe we've gotten the gist of that one. Thank you.
I have the whole song here.
No, we're done. We're out of time. Thank you.
You've heard enough?
I've heard enough. Andrew Siciliano on the show today to talk sports. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel next hour, and of course more of that awesome Charlie Sheen tape, which I just can't stop listening to. And by the way, Omar, who joins us in the studio to fill in for the Movie Beat with Ralph today, why haven't you turned that into something with a rave bed yet? Where's the Charlie Sheen remix? Come on!
I'll start working on that. No, hold on.
What we need to work on, Omar, is Mel Gibson
talking to Charlie Sheen.
Oh, that's a good idea. Seamless conversation. Yeah, for sure.
Different as well.
Yeah, we'll do both.
Let's do both.
All right, you're going to have a busy weekend.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, though, Ralph is out sick today. We wish him the best, of course. Omar is filling in on the movie beat, and it's. I'm glad you're doing this, though, because you did such a great job with the Glee caps that now I think it's time to pick you, you know, bump you up to the big time. You've gone from TV to movies. Let's see what you got to say about the big releases hitting theaters this weekend.
I also think it's about time because you guys know I'm an actor and director extraordinaire.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You got the Cucamonga Heat on your credits.
I've been doing this longer than Ralph has. I've been in the biz forever.
Do you get to vote in the Academy also?
I do. Strangely enough.
No, that's not, okay. That's not
four,
the case.
Four brand new movies coming out today. Well, three new movies, and then one's Justin Bieber, Never Say Never, the director's fan cut. And I'm glad they're giving out that they're taking out this, it's coming out today because, you know, it's been years since we've seen that movie, right? And we really needed a fan cut, right, Bean?
It's been 2 weeks.
That's two weeks.
Are you
going to
go see this
opened.
Movie, Bean?
Yes.
I don't know. I think I'm ready to just wait for DVD on this to catch up on the new 40 minutes of footage, but it is going to be a fascinating experiment to see if it works for them to make more money.
Trust me, it will work for them.
I think so, too.
It will definitely work for them. It's going to pay off. Second movie coming out is Of Gods and Men. This is a story about eight French Christian monks that live in a monastery with Muslim brothers in North Africa.
Winning.
So, somebody enjoy that. I don't know who that's for.
Wow.
Yeah. Big movie. Drive Angry 3D with Nicolas Cage and Amber Heard.
There it is.
Drive Angry 3D, really? What the hell? Couldn't they come up with a better title than that? This is a story about Milton, a hardened felon that broke out of hell. So he has one last chance at redemption and is intent on stomping the vicious cult who murdered his daughter. Have you guys seen the trailer for this?
Yeah, this is Nicolas Cage.
Amber Heard. So if you guys like hot chicks, go for Amber Heard.
She's hot. Sure.
But Nick Cage in this entire movie with the 3D, and it's all shot in 3D, it's the most gimmicky 3D ever. It's just like
even
shots
in the old days.
Yeah. It's like, you know, windshields flying at you just for the sake of windshields going, ah! Are you kidding? It's not like, you know, Avatar where everything was shot creatively for 3D. So this is going to be a big stinking pile.
All right, but here's my question.
Yeah.
Is this bad enough, and some movies are like this, where you really kind of want to see it just to revel in, it comes full circle to revel in, I can't believe this ever got greenlit, made. It looks so terrible.
It might be. Let me tell you one thing about the guy who's in charge of bringing Nicolas Cage back to hell.
Okay.
They call him the accountant because he's going to hold you accountable.
No.
Okay.
Are you kidding
me? See,
dude?
That to me says bad enough.
I don't know. Here's a little taste of Amber Heard's acting skills. This is Nicolas Cage asking Piper, as she's called in the movie, if she wants to go with him and drive angry.
He's not coming?
Piper, I need you, but I won't lie to you. This is going to be rough.
Are you sure about this?
My whole life has been nothing but waiting. Waiting on tables, waiting on fools, waiting for it just to mean something. And now it means something. I'm with you until the end.
Oh, shut up.
You gotta go, Kevin.
Are you
gotta
kidding?
Go. You gotta go see this one.
Let's drive angry.
Right.
And, wow.
This is the reason why, Kevin, here's the action scene where the accountant who's gonna hold you accountable for driving angry. And I don't know why he's driving angry for some reason. Why is he just driving angry?
I don't know why they focus on the driving at all.
He doesn't have to be angry. And in this clip, he's driving. He doesn't even seem angry. He's like joking around with the accountant. Check it out.
It's all gone, Milton. Stop the car.
I can't do that.
Really? What makes you think you have a choice?
Because you're obnoxious, first. And because I have something I got to do.
Then you should have done it a long time ago.
I didn't have to do it a long time ago, did I?
Oh, Milton, I will kill that pretty little woman in the back seat to get to you.
I won't allow that.
Again, what makes you think you have a choice?
This does.
And a bunch of effects, and he blows, you know, the
He's
car
the
up.
He's the best. I won't allow that.
Dude, everything I hear about this makes me want to go for the wrong reasons.
Let us know on Monday.
It looks like a steaming pile.
It does.
But it's a bigger one than most.
Yeah, for sure. Last movie, Hall Pass, who were the proud sponsors of the Kevin Bean Singles Party not too long ago. This stars Owen Wilson, Jason Sudeikis, Jenna Fisher, and Christina Applegate. And this is a story of Rick and Fred, who've been married for a long time. They're best friends, and their wives are fed up with them gawking at hot chicks. So they're going to get a hall pass for a week, and they could do whatever they want. And I'm guessing hijinks ensue.
Sure.
Funny stuff happens.
Remembering that they're a sponsor.
Right.
Right.
And
so it's going to be great.
It's
going to
be thumbs up. And I'm sure they're going to learn a very important lesson at the end.
Sure.
And they're going to cherish and realize what meaningful their wives are to them.
Yeah.
Here's a clip of them trying to pick up chicks.
This place is dead.
Okay, well, the guy at the Comfy Night Inn said it doesn't really kick in until about 9:30, so...
Why are you not staying at a hotel if your wife's out of town?
Oh, come on, Flats. I can't very well bring a bunch of models back to my place. What if they end up stalking me?
And Rick's house has got a bunch of family photos and kids' drawings on the fridge.
Yeah. Are you guys sure Applebee's is the best place to meet hot, horny women at?
What do you think, an Olive Garden?
Oh, were you laughing, Bean? What?
I just, you know what? There are some actors, and Ed Helms is one, and Owen Wilson oftentimes is another one. Their delivery is funny. There's just something about them that is entertaining.
You know, this movie, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get some cheesy comedy, and you're going to get a couple of laughs out of it. You know, the entire cast is really likable. Owen Wilson, Jason Sudeikis, Jenna Fischer, I love.
Yeah.
And Christina Applegate from Anchorman is awesome. So I think if you're going to go out to the movies and not watch Black Swan again with the makeout scene.
Which you should.
That's what I would do this weekend. Hall Pass is definitely a good choice. I'm Omar. I walk the movie.
Got the Showbiz Beat coming up for you again in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're going to be giving you tickets if you're a fan of Supernatural to get a chance to meet the cast at the Paley Fest that's coming up next month. So if you're a fan of that show, stick around. That's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, this is interesting how this happened. We were talking about Kickstarter on the show this week, which is a great idea for a website, especially for the creative types, people who want to make an album, people want to make a movie, but they don't have the money to do it. So they crowdsource the funding. They put the idea up on the internet, and then people who are interested in contributing toward making that dream come true can make a small donation or a bigger donation, and in some cases get something down the road from the people who are making the project.
You know what I need, Bean? You've been on it more recently than I have. I really need a large picture of corn.
I happen to be contributing to a Kickstarter campaign to take pictures of corn. So that's exactly what I'm talking about. So we started talking about this, and Ralph says, hey, I know a guy who's on the Kickstarter, and he's got a project that you are going to love. He is trying to document the process to get the great actor Adam West, of course, TV's Batman and the mayor on Family Guy, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And this is a campaign that we've been behind here on the Kevin and Bean Show for years. We've done everything we can, but it's kind of out of our hands. So let's find out what the status of the project is, how the movie's going, and how he needs the help from the Kevin and Bean listeners. James Tooley is the director of the film. He joins us on the show. Hey, James, how are you, man?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
No, thank you for having us on. You know, as a listener of this show, you know how much support and how much love we have for the great Adam West and have for many, many years.
I do. I appreciate it. And Adam appreciates it. Ralph's always been a huge supporter, and you guys have as well. And we're here to raise awareness and try to raise a little money to finish off this documentary about getting Adam a star on the Walk of Fame.
Now, he hasn't gotten a star on the Walk of Fame yet. So really, my only question for you is, you don't have an ending yet, right?
That is our ending. We're committed to that being our ending. So okay. We're hoping for a happy Hollywood ending. We're hoping that this film raises awareness and pushes the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce to actually do the right thing and give Adam the star.
We've done everything we can without feeling like we were crossing a line and pushing the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, because I know that they get a lot of pressure from a lot of people to get stars. And we don't want to put them in a defensive position where somehow there's some sort of backlash from them because we're putting the heat on too much. But we can't figure out for the life of us what their reasonable explanation would be for not giving Adam West a star. When you look at people who have had comparable careers, all of them are represented on the walk.
Yeah, we don't understand it, and we're just looking for a little love from the Hollywood Chamber. We've never gotten a response to requests for interviews or to the applications we've submitted for Adam, so we're not really sure what's going on. We hope that this will get him talking and hopefully result in a star.
I'll tell you, when I walk down there and you go through the Walk of Fame and you read the people's names, I know about 10% of them. Or not know, but have heard that they exist.
Right. Of about so 10. Many of them are old Hollywood.
Right. And then you look at it and you go, well, how does that person have a star and yet not Adam?
Well, that's our feeling, too. I mean, here's a guy with over 50 years of creating laughs and entertaining people, and he's still relevant today with Family Guy and the Funny or Die videos and some of the viral stuff he's doing. So, if Adam doesn't deserve a star on the Walk of Fame, I don't know who does.
Well, Tom Cruise does. Kickstarter is the way you've chosen to try to raise money. And as I was talking about in the introduction, James, what a lot of filmmakers are doing is they're offering incentives for you to donate a certain amount of money. Is there a way that listeners right now to this show have an opportunity to be, say, an actual Hollywood producer by getting involved with you and helping you finish this film?
Absolutely. If you go to AdamWest.com or his Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/AdamWest, there's a link to the Kickstarter page. And there's different levels of support that people can provide. And the highest level of support will make someone a producer. But really, any level of support we welcome, and we appreciate the fan support. And really, if every fan on his Facebook page gave 50 cents, we'd be there.
Right. How much money is it going to cost you?
50 Cent is going to be in the movie?
How much money are you trying to raise to get this film made?
We're trying to raise $30,000. We just started 5 days ago, and we're about 10% there.
Okay.
So,
that's not bad.
You know, and that's going to go toward licensing clips and music and just all the expensive finishing stuff that goes into getting
it. It has to be a little depressing to have something that you care about so much, and you're trying to make the movie, you're trying to get money raised, and then you hear that Bean's on the same site and he's sending money to the guy who's taking pictures of corn. You have to just go, hey, pictures of corn, Adam West, star of the Walk of Fame. How about spreading it around?
There's a lot of art out there. There's a lot of worthy causes worth supporting. Hey, I'm going to make a pledge right now, James. I'm going on Kickstarter, and I am donating money to help get this project made. That's how firmly I believe in what you're doing.
Love that support. Thank you. Just jump over from the corn page. It's one click.
It has to be more than the corn donation, though, Bean.
I will absolutely do that. I will not only do that, but I'm gonna challenge all listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show who are also fans of ours and fans of Mr. West to join me on there and help get this movie made. Because look, like I said, it's so ambiguous the process by which the people are selected to be on the Walk of Fame. But, you know, if we keep the awareness up there, you know, maybe it'll get to the right person's ears and somebody will go into that meeting at the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce and say, look, let's get this done. Adam West is not going to live forever, although I think he should. Let's get this done and make an old man happy.
Well, we want him to live forever through a star on the walk. And
if
nothing else, we'll have a great documentary to document this whole process.
Go to AdamWest.com or Adam's Facebook page, which is just /AdamWest. Director James Tooley making the film.
Slash is on his site?
Yeah, he's in the same scene as 50 Cent, Kevin.
Okay.
James, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for coming on.
Right.
Good luck with
Thanks
the project.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
Brand new Foo Fighters on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7, KROQ at 7:56.
Kevin Beach on a Friday. Look, I love Foo Fighters as much. I love Foo Fighters maybe more than the next guy. But I think we're all just giving them a pass on naming their song Rape.
That's rope.
It seems like it's just rope. Rude. It's uncomfortable to hear that on the radio.
It's really R-O-P-E. Rope.
Oh, I misread that. Oh, yeah. That's all right, Dad. That's fine.
Good.
Wow. Ralph is out today. We're taking a look at the showbiz beat for you. We got some more awesome Charlie Sheen tape to find out how he spends his time in his private movie theater coming up in a minute. But first, if you're a fan of the TV show The Supernatural, you're going to love this. The Paley Fest 2011 is happening March 4th through the 17th at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. Tickets available at paleycenter.org. You've been hearing us talk about it for years now. This is where you go and you hang out with the actors and the creators and the writers of the show. You get a chance to ask them questions. Up for grabs right now, March 13th, The Supernatural. We got two winners for fans of the show. Call now 1-800-520-1067. First two callers through who love The Supernatural, you get to go. All right, you ready for some Sheen?
Absolutely.
We got so much, and we got more for you that we're going to play next hour. Here's Charlie talking about, and I guess his life revolves around inviting people over to his house and watching movies. We heard that story last week about how he screened his major league and flew in a bunch of his favorite baseball players, past and present, to come watch the movie with him. Well, now he's going to talk about watching Apocalypse Now with some fighter pilots, and you'll be amazed to hear what he does in the darkened theater while the movie is on. Listen up. Here's Charlie Sheen again from the interview he did yesterday with Alex Jones on the radio.
I'm sorry, man. I got magic, and I got poetry at my fingertips, and I'm, most of the time, and this is, this includes naps. I'm an F-18, bro, and I will destroy you in the air, and I will deploy my ordnance to the ground.
Are you going to announce your new tattoo here on air?
Yeah, why not? Because it's just pure and complete gnarlyisms. I sat with two, F-18 Top Gun radical fire napalm dropping pilots in my movie theater watching the. A attack sequence, the chopper attack sequence on the beachhead to go surfing because they wanted to, and those people were in their way. And I was getting a tattoo during the death from above, and it was it's the banner from the death card that Kilgore is throwing on his victims.
By the way, who in a dark movie theater watching a movie with F-18 pilots is also getting a tattoo? How fast is this guy living his life?
He doesn't have time to separate those two.
He's busy winning.
He's busy winning.
It's been a long time since somebody has come out publicly, even in the world of celebrities, and said, I am it. I have everything.
Yes, yes.
And he's so just proud of himself and just bragging. It's been a long time since somebody had the stupidity to do that. Common sense tells you don't say it.
Mike, how many of the tattoos on your body have you gotten in a movie theater?
Zero. That'd be zero. Yeah.
He goes on to describe the rest of the tattoos. So he's got the death card from Kilgore in Apocalypse Now, but that's not all.
But there's also falling from it is the apple from the giving tree. There's my life. Deal with it. Oh, wait. Can't process it. Losers. Winning. Bye-bye.
Winning.
Wow.
I love him so much.
Man. I mean, he must just feel like everybody was attacking him and they don't understand that he's a gift. That's crazy talk.
That's exactly how he feels. And the attacking that was going on was, hey, you've had a pass for years to do whatever you want with zero or no consequences. Now we'd like you to maybe get clean so the rest of us can make a living working on this TV show that's made us all very rich. I mean, that's all the pressure. Nobody from his show came out and said, Charlie Sheen is a dick, Charlie Sheen is a bad person. What they came out and said is Charlie Sheen is talented, we love him, we want him to get healthy and come back to work. That's the oppression that he's railing against in these tapes.
Their heads can't handle it, Bean.
They're losers.
They're losers.
Hello.
Justin Bieber might be going to the Playboy Mansion. As much as I hate Justin Bieber, imagine being, how old is he, 16?
16.
16, almost 17. Yeah.
And going to the Playboy Mansion. I mean, really. Piers Morgan, the CNN host, tweeted about that he had just chatted with Hugh Hefner. And apparently Justin's people got to Hugh and said, hey, he'd like to take a tour of the Playboy Mansion. So apparently they're setting that up.
I've heard, and I don't want to say that Hugh Hefner's fiancés are young, but I hear that some of them have the Bieber fever, and they want to meet him.
Oh.
Which, how does that make Hugh Hefner feel? This kid comes in who's 70 years younger than he is, and his fiancé is all up in that. Come on.
Oh, it's going to happen, too. They're going to bang him, aren't they? Oh.
You know Justin Bieber is going to lose his virginity at the Playboy Mansion to about 10 playmates.
At the end of the day, I don't think much bothers Hugh Hefner. You know,
like
he sits back and looks at his life as like a mid-70s guy and goes, I'm pretty rad.
This is also just another sign of it's all downhill from here for Justin Bieber.
For Justin Bieber. Yeah, that's true.
He's peaking early. So when he's 19 and he's selling crack, it'll all be different.
And the other Bieber story, by the way, Ralph reported last week after Justin got his very famous and public haircut that he was going to auction off the hair that was cut to charity. And I never heard a follow-up until this morning. I guess he was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and he gave her a lock of the hair that had been cut. She put it up for auction on eBay, proceeds going to charity, of course. As of last night, the high bid was around $7,000. And the auction ends March 2nd, which I want to say is next, Monday, Tuesday, something like
that. You know that's a parent of a fan that has unlimited resources, but still it must have taken a lot for him to go, well, I know I'm your dad, I love you, you're my daughter, but really, $7,000 for Justin Bieber's hair? Maybe he created an anonymous account so no one could trace it to him.
Yeah, I don't know, and I'm gonna feel really bad for that little girl who gets her heart broken when I swoop in at the last second and buy it for more. Today's celebrity birthday is the beautiful and talented Rashida Jones from Parks and Recreation is so unbelievably hot. She is 35 years old. And by the way, a great comedic actress. So funny on that show. Actor Sean Astin turns 40 today. Nancy O'Dell, who's a former beauty pageant queen, famous for being on Access Hollywood, now on Entertainment Tonight, I think is unbelievably hot for 45 years old today. Nobel for Chelsea Handler, who claims to be 36, but she's as good at telling the truth as she is at being funny. So let's not count on that, shall we? The beautiful WWE diva and formerly Celebrity Apprentice contestant Maria Kanellis is 29 years old today. Mrs. Dave Duchovny, Taya Leone, terrific actress also, is 45 today. Daniel Powder, the guy who sang Bad Day. They used all those seasons when contestants were eliminated from American Idol. Now he's having a bad day. When was the last time Daniel Powder had a hit?
Oh,
he's the one who did that. You had a bad day.
Oh,
I'm sorry, we don't get it. Continue singing.
Yeah.
And he is 40 today, which what I have not have predicted, by the way. And really the reason we're all here today and celebrating is today is the annual Carrot Top celebration. Doesn't say how old he is here, but there's no way to tell looking
because
at him.
Because he's been dead for 10 years.
He is so pickled, it's impossible to tell how old the guy really is. And that is the Showbiz Beat. Hey, party people, Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Andrew Siciliano joins us to talk all things sports. By the way, I didn't hear the details of this Boston Celtics trade yesterday, but apparently, Kevin, you'll be happy to know that they were miserable in the locker room, devastated by what happened in the trading deadline yesterday.
It does make me happy.
So I know you're happy when the Celtics are sad, so we'll talk about that and everything else with Andrew coming up. Plus, our friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us in minutes to talk about his post-Oscar special this weekend. First, though, time for Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Bean will collapse on the floor in a ball of tears if a dog dies, or any animal.
Yes.
An ant. If an ant dies, a flea dies, Bean will be crushed. Human being death, very happy.
How dare you, first of all. I'm going to show you a different side of Bean's Death Corner here today, Kevin. I'm going to prove how wrong you are, because I actually was a little bit sad about this first story in Bean's Death Corner today.
Wow.
Usually I'm delighted to see somebody die, but not this time. This is Carolyn Berger, very popular porn star who goes by the name Cora. In fact, she's 23 years old. Gorgeous, a superstar in Europe, where she appeared on the German version of the Big Brother show and often paraded around topless and flirted with cast members.
All right.
She unfortunately has met an untimely demise.
The star of Cora the Explorer?
No.
There it is, Kevin.
Although I guarantee one of her movies is named that. Unfortunately, she not only died, she died on the operating table after she went in for her sixth boob job.
Wow.
Now, if you're 23 and you're going in for your sixth boob job, that says to me that you're not thinking ahead. You're not planning your life out very well, right?
It also says that it's inevitable that she's going to die on the operating table. She's already in her sixth one in 23. That means she's got like another 30 before she's 30.
Yeah.
Oh, man. She was going from a 34F to a 34G.
Dude,
she thought it would increase her popularity.
You can't walk around with an F. With Fs. You know what I mean? Like, that's
people just laugh at you for being a flatty.
Right.
I just, look, I love boob jobs, and I think they're essential. I think they should be government mandated. If I determine that your body requires one, you should be forced to have a boob job. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against the boob jobs. I'm against misusing the surgery and going in every 6 months to get a new one. Plan it out a little better. If she wanted 34 Gs, she should have just started with 34 Gs and got that the first time out.
Okay, so some good, important advice from Bean on getting boob jobs.
So RIP Carolyn Berger, very sad to hear about that one. Here's a great story. We couldn't talk about it when it happened back in 2009 when a man was shot at a screening of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button because he and his family were talking too much in the movie theater for somebody who pulled a gun on him that guy didn't die. So we couldn't do that story back then. Now, however, it has happened again, this time in the country of Latvia, where a 27-year-old pulled out a gun, shot and killed a 42-year-old in a movie screening of The Black Swan because the man was eating his popcorn too loudly. Well, I mean,
eating his popcorn too loudly.
That can be annoying.
Well, yeah, but I mean, really think about how loud, if you're trying your best to eat popcorn loudly, how loud can you be?
Look, if you're going to the Black Swan and you're waiting for that scene,
right,
you don't want anything to destroy the experience for you, right?
Listen, I wouldn't convict him. I would say guilty. Because that scene with what's her name?
Ed, what's her name? Exactly.
That is such a great scene.
I do feel a little bit bad for the 42-year-old who just thinks it's a day off at the movies, and he's sitting there enjoying his Black Swan and having a little bit of popcorn, and the next thing you know, boom, he's dead.
Yeah.
All right, and here, because it's Friday, and because, Kevin, I know you're not a fan of the Death Corner, I thought I would end on a really, really happy story. This is the first ever Bean's Death Corner story where nobody ends up dying.
Well, how is it Death Corner, then?
Because the way she was saved will make you love this story so much.
Right.
A pizza delivery driver was called a hero Monday after she saved the life of an elderly woman. Before Monday's incident, most neighbors knew little about Memphis resident Jean Wilson, except that she had eaten pizza every day for the past 3 years. We make her pizza every day before she even calls because we know what she's going to like, said the delivery driver, Susan Guy. Susan's the one who often delivers to the woman's house. Well, she hadn't called in 3 days. So the pizza delivery lady said, what's going on with this? She hasn't called in 3 days. She calls every day. So she called 911 and reported the lady as being potentially hurt because she hadn't ordered pizza in 3 days, and she orders pizza every single day. The police went and found out that she had fallen down and that she could not get up and could not reach a phone.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
And they saved her life. She would have died there on the floor by herself without any help.
Saved by the pizza delivery chick.
Exactly. Because she had a pizza-only diet, that is ultimately what ended up saving her life. And that's what I'm going to take away from this story. And that's going to be my new diet, too, just because you never know, man, when that might save your life.
That's true.
This has been Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
If you're not Charlie Sheen, you're not a winner. You're a loser.
True.
And we got more of his awesome, awesome, awesome interview tape from yesterday's Alec Jones' show coming up here in just a couple minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Jimmy Kimmel back on the phone.
I agree with that statement, by the way, that if you're not Charlie,
you are. You're a loser. You know what he is?
Winner.
He's a winner. He's winning. Is that the most unbelievable celebrity interview you've ever heard in your life?
It's pretty great. You know what I would do if I was CBS? I'd just grab hold of his brother, who doesn't appear to be doing anything, and swap him right out.
Yeah, and why not?
That would be as successful?
You know, it couldn't hurt. I mean, really, where are they headed? They're headed towards 1.5 men, so they might as well.
I want to do, no offense to you, Jim. I appreciate you coming on. I just want to do nothing today but listen to Charlie Sheen. That's all I care about.
I'll just sit here quietly.
No, we'll talk about your Oscar special.
Did you see the picture I just emailed you guys?
I didn't yet. No. What'd you send us?
I'm wearing right now.
Oh, no. What I'll be wearing during our chat. Oh, my God. What is it? You're wearing some sort of a workout outfit? You got a little headband and a little leotard? What do you got going on there?
Well, let's not make it worse by saying a little headband. It's a full-size headband.
Sure.
It's a man's headband that I'm wearing right now.
Why are you dressed like Richard Simmons for this interview, Jim?
I got to tell you, Jimmy is partial to headbands. He really loves them.
I do like
Ever since we've known him, he will wear a headband if there's any call for it, and sometimes when there's not.
If there's any possibility of sweating, I will put a headband.
Right.
I like headbands.
Are you filming something, I hope, right after you hang up the phone that required that ridiculous outfit?
No, this is my new look.
This whole time?
I'm now wearing red spandex with little blue underpants.
Oh, man.
It's unbelievable.
I am filming something for our post-Oscar special on Sunday night. In fact, we never have anything done in advance, so today I'll be filming from the crack of dawn until the crack of whatever the reverse
whenever the
of that
next
is.
Crack comes
yeah.
up.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would have thought the Oscar people would sort of force you to do things faster, no? I mean, you pretty much are still on your own with your terrible timing and scheduling and everything?
Yeah, I pretty much operate the same way I always
right.
did.
Let me ask you a couple questions about the Oscar special, Jimmy. And I know you've done it every year. This is, your sixth year in a row you've been on after the Academy Awards. But is this the first year that Heidi the Cross-Eyed Possum is going to be making an appearance?
Well, you know, Heidi's been on the show all week picking picking the winners of the thing. That thing is ridiculous. Of course, I'm sure, Bean, you probably have a sex doll of Heidi the Cross-Eyed sure. Possum by now. But Heidi did pretty well. Although, I'll be honest, we kind of cheated because we put food behind the
I can tell. It's really funny because night number one, when they brought out Heidi, they had statues and pictures of all of the nominees, and the nominees were cross-eyed as well, which I found funny. But Heidi didn't want to have anything to do with them, just went back in the cage and went to sleep. So then all of a sudden they go cut back to Heidi, and Heidi's like foraging for food and finding it and eating it. I was like, they cheated.
I said, you know what, put a grape behind the Natalie Portman because I think she probably has a better chance of winning.
That's awesome.
At least put a grape behind Colin Firth, too. People are stupid. They don't know anything.
I just felt like the payoff was going to be, depending on whether Heidi came through or not, that you would skin and eat her on Sunday night if it didn't work out. You know, that'd be awesome.
I would love to roast that thing. I've never had possum. Carl Malone love it, though.
Carl Malone do love it. How about, is this a deal like on some of your shows where immediately after the Oscars are done, some of the big names from the show are going to walk, like on the American Music Awards, I guess you do this, and the Super Bowl you've done this, where they walk on over from their event to your event. Is that going to happen Sunday night?
That's not really. No, that probably won't happen because they like to keep everyone contained, but we have a stellar a guest list as we could possibly have already. So
I've seen Tom Hanks with his commercial about not is contractually obligated to be on your show.
Yeah, that's he's good. not really contractually obligated. He's kind enough to do it voluntarily, but Tom Hanks will be on the show.
Wow.
And I have a list of, I'm doing, the reason I'm wearing this stupid outfit right now is because we're doing one of our videos. You know, we do a video every year after the Oscars.
Seems like a lot of pressure, because you've done some great videos after the Oscars, and so now you're thinking, I got to do something better.
Yeah, but you know me, I'm like Lance Armstrong. I thrive on that kind of stuff, and yeah. I take steroids.
And you're doping, yeah.
But,
that's true.
So last year we did the Handsome Men's Club, and we did the Ben Affleck and Matt Damon videos before that.
Right.
This year we have something, I would say, I think it's best described as the female version of the Handsome Men's Club.
Oh, I like
all it. All right.
I like that a lot.
Now, what names can you give us?
We have a lot of good ones. If you knew what was going on here right now, you'd probably barge into this building because, Jessica Biel is on her way over here right now.
Good enough for me. I'm going to barge over. Is that cool?
Jessica Alba was already in her way. There are a lot of Jessicas involved in this.
Are there any Minkas?
There's a Minka.
What? Yeah, I thought there might be.
We can only get one Minka.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things going on.
And who... is there anyone that these beautiful women in one room could be more wasted on than Jimmy Kimmel with his lack of game? I mean, seriously.
Dean, I'd like you to take one more look at that picture and then maybe rethink your last statement.
Yeah, because you know what they're going to love? They're going to love the confidence of a guy who would wear something so embarrassing.
Around people like that, exactly.
Right. Oh, yeah. You can see when I walk into this room and I'm wearing a headband and you can see my nuts through this spandex.
Well,
the looks on their faces, it's really humiliating.
For them or you?
For me.
Okay, all right.
For both of us, probably.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time. We're talking to our friend Jimmy Kimmel about his post-Academy Award special, which, of course, airs this Sunday night right after the Oscars on ABC. I have to ask this, Jim. I've always thought you would be a phenomenal host for the Oscars, and you've done a fair amount of hosting. Is it because of your appearance in the Garfield movie that you'll effectively never get offered that position? I mean, did you burn every bridge in Hollywood by being in that movie, or what happened?
Listen, I'm working on trying to host the Emmys, and then we'll go from there. So,
yeah. Oh, I see.
I don't see that happening anytime soon, especially not with these outfits.
You got to work your way up.
How do you think Anne Hathaway and James Franco are going to do? That's a pretty tough job, pretty big shoes to fill hosting the Oscars.
You know what? They've both been on my show, and James Franco is really kind of like a super talented guy. It seems like I can't imagine. Imagine, and she seems very likable too. I can't imagine that they'll be anything other than charming. I don't know how funny it'll be, but I don't know if that's their goal.
Maybe they just settle for not funny but charming.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because there's nothing worse than going for funny and missing. So maybe they're not going to go for
it. No one would know this better than you.
That's correct. That's very correct.
Well, it promises to be a great Oscar broadcast. A lot of surprises, I understand, this Sunday night, and then immediately after, stay on ABC for Jimmy Kimmel and the post-Oscar special. James, you're always great to squeeze us in, man, when you have time for publicity. We really appreciate you coming on. Have fun this weekend, dude.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Especially when there's supermodels all around him. He's talking on the phone to us. Wow, that's a bad choice, but thank you, Jimmy.
All right, we got time for a little bit more Charlie Sheen.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
He called into Alex Jones's show yesterday, longtime Bay Area favorite. And by the way, I told Mike earlier this today, Kevin, I'm going to tell you now. If you ever tune in to me on a radio station somewhere, and I'm talking like Alex Jones, you hear me saying, hey, Charlie, great being at your house. I want you to find where I am and strangle me with your bare hands. Just put me out of my misery, okay, if I'm ever talking like that on the radio.
I have a long list of reasons to do that, so I'll add it to the bottom.
Here's the great Charlie Sheen talking about how he's a winner and everyone else is a loser.
I'm tired. I'm so tired of pretending like my life isn't perfect and bitching and just winning every second. And I'm not perfect and bitching and just delivering the goods at every freaking turn, because look what I'm dealing with, man. I'm dealing with fools and trolls, you know, I'm dealing with soft targets. And it's just, you know, it's just strafing runs in my underwear before my first cup of coffee, because I don't have time for these clowns. I don't have time for their judgment and their stupidity. And, you know, they lay down with their ugly wives in front of their ugly children and just look at their loser lives. And then they look at me and they say, I can't process it. Well, no, and you never will. Stop trying. Just sit back and enjoy the show.
Wow. You know what's funny about this is there are probably a lot of people who believe that about themselves. But they have the least, just the tiniest amount of common sense to not say it out loud. Mm-hmm. Because it makes people hate you.
Right.
But he has none of that.
No. And for folks who missed the news yesterday, they pulled the plug. The people who make Two and a Half Men, America's number one sitcom, pulled the plug on the show for this season. There will be no more. They were scheduled to go back to start filming next week.
And now they're not going to make any more. The door is still open a crack, I guess, that the show could return at some point. But the war of words that are going on between, well, really just coming from Charlie Sheen's side, I think Chuck Lorre and the producers of the show have handled it pretty well and pretty tastefully. But the venom that's coming out of Charlie Sheen makes me think that they'll never work together again, that Two and a Half Men is essentially over, and we've seen the final episode.
By the way,
already.
It might be true of Charlie Sheen and everyone.
Mm-hmm. It's very possible. Yeah, you're right. So Ralph reported a couple of days ago, back when he was still on the show, that Charlie Sheen had taken a vacation and had taken his ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, with him, and also this porn star, Brie Olsen, and also this new young woman that he's calling his girlfriend. And the three of them, or maybe there was even another one involved, had all gone off together to some island vacation. And Alex Jones, who's doing the interview with Charlie Sheen yesterday, asks him, hey, what's the status of that vacation with all those ladies that you took away?
What is going on with the women in your life?
The goddesses. Alex, the goddesses, let me just say this about the goddesses. I don't believe the term is good enough. But when you're bound by these terrestrial descriptions, you must use the best choice available, right?
Yes.
So if you think about it, dude, it's like I'm 0-3 with marriage, with nary an excuse, but like in baseball, the scoreboard doesn't lie, never has. So what we all have is a marriage of the heart, of the hearts. And, I, you know, to sully, to contaminate, or, you know, or radically disrespect this union with a shameful contract is something I will, yeah, you know, leave to the amateurs and the Bible grippers. The Bible grippers. And then I just got to add this. There was a whole firestorm yesterday about Brooke being, you know, a part of our crew. And this, let me just say this. This is all I'm going to say about it is that where there were four, there are now three. But my Brooke, and good luck in your travels. You're going to need it badly. So
Brooke did go along with you, but she's not there now.
No, she's not there now, and we are, and I don't know, winning anyone?
Wow!
Jeez.
I think that Brooke Mueller doesn't think that she's not winning by getting away from you and your crazy porn wives, right?
We're all surprised that she went with him in the first place.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, we only have time for one more. Do you guys want to hear, for folks who haven't heard it, you want to hear Charlie's take on Alcoholics Anonymous?
I would like to hear everything you have. I don't care about time.
Now, AA, and Dr. Drew was asked last night at a party, and TMZ has got his quote today. AA, and Mike, you said this earlier today, does not have the greatest success rate in the world, right? You're likely to slip if you are sober on AA. It's very common for you to take a couple of steps back before the program takes hold and works. But still, it has the highest success rate of anything else I've heard of. Am I wrong?
You're exactly right. It's a disease that is chronic and it's hard to deal with, but it's as good as any other way of combating the disease of addiction.
No, it isn't. It's not as good as Charlie Sheen's way.
Charlie, I think, could benefit from some of the lessons of AA. He doesn't necessarily see it that way.
Charlie Sheen, you wanted to talk about AA because, you know, when I was at your house, I said, man, great job being completely sober and, you know, how important it was.
But I can't use the word sober because that's a term from those people. And I have cleansed myself. I closed my eyes and it's a nanosecond. I cured myself from this ridiculous model of disease and addiction and obsession. It's just the work of sissies. The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning, you know. This bootleg cult, you know, arrogantly referred to as Alcoholics Anonymous, Alex, supports a 5% success rate. My success rate is 100%. Do the math. Take, for instance, its founder, a desperate and, I don't know, broken-down plagiarist, stayed high on acid until the day he died. I can't seem to find that chapter in his silly book of lies. And then, Alex, try to get your mind around this as a fellow warrior deep in the trenches. Their entire manifesto is built upon a complete and total surrender, or the concept of complete and total surrender. They urge you to put down your sword and come join the winners. In 22 years, the only winners I could locate in their toothless warren were either driving a convertible van or living like trolls under some abandoned bridge. Another one of their stupid mottos, Alex, is don't be special, be one of us. Newsflash, I am special, and I will never be one of you. But I dare anyone to debate me on things. Debate me on AA right now. I have a disease, but I cured it with my brain, with my mind. I'm cured. I'm done.
Well, we all have to sit in here and touch ourselves and frown. Well, you know, you don't look like you're having a lot of fun. I'm going to hang out with these two smoking hotties and fly privately around the world. You know, it might be lonely up here, but I sure like the view, Alex.
Give him a reality show now.
Wow.
Put him on my TV.
Wow, this
I want to see whatever the last, I don't know how much time he's got left. 2 months, 3 months, 8 months, whatever he's got left. I want to see it, and I want to see it live.
Oh, Bean, how dare you? He's a winner.
He's cured.
Winning.
He is cured. I forgot he was cured.
Yeah. You know, we always have this discussion about, does the actor's personal life keep you from enjoying his work? Mm-hmm. We did that with Tom Cruise and a bunch of different people. This is really going to be difficult for him to come back from, I think. I mean,
you think this is his Mel Gibson on tape? Now you can never watch him in a movie again and not think about the things that came out of his mouth.
I do, and I also think that he's directly attacking the people who make the show as well. All of the people that work on Two and a Half Men. And crews aren't going to work with him. Directors aren't going to work with him. I mean,
you could be right.
He's really digging a hole.
And the funny thing is, and I know we're out of time, but the funny thing is I haven't heard anyone, even the people who have been impacted the greatest by Charlie Sheen's misadventures, and I'm including his wife, his ex-wife, his kids, his co-stars, the people that work on Two and a Half Men, I haven't heard anyone come out and say a bad word about Charlie Sheen. As far as I'm concerned, up till this point, even with his incredibly boorish behavior, he has been still handled with kid gloves. Everybody has been so respectful and so supportive and said, look, we love this guy. He's talented. We want him to get well, and we want him to come back, and we want everybody to be happy. Yet if you listen to it from Charlie's point of view, he makes it sound like he's got a target on his back and he can't step outside his front door without being attacked by everyone in the world.
But it's so insulting to him because he's so much better than everyone that has the target on his back.
Exactly.
So much better.
We don't have time for his diatribe on the Vatican assassins. Maybe we'll get to that another time. But there's plenty more with Charlie Sheen. So that's a story that obviously is continuing to develop. And we don't know what radio show he's going to call today. Who knows? Could be ours. Stick around. We may have Charlie Sheen.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. We are in the middle of destination number 5, which is Foo Fighters in the Swiss Alps. Keep listening for your chance all weekend. You can get a copy of the new Foo Fighters CD, Wasting Light, which is great. And you get on the standby boarding list for that trip for two to the Swiss Alps.
Every time you say the Swiss Alps, I want to yodel because I know how funny that would be, but I am unable to do it. I can't do it. I can't. I can't. Right. You're like, hee-ho.
Fantastic. Mike, I need that forever. All right. It's 8:57.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. On a Friday, we'll talk all things sports with our friend Andrew Siciliano. It must be so boring for him to come in and just be on one radio show at a time. He's the kind of guy who could be on 6 radio shows at one time because he does such a good job with the Red Zone. Anyway, he joins us at the top of the hour. Now Alex is in for Ralph, who's out sick today with the Showbiz Beat.
Good morning. I'm going to kick things off with another set of tickets to the Paley Fest 2011. It is March 4th through the 17th at the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills. You can check out all the shows at paleycenter.org. I'm giving away 2 pairs of tickets to Raising Hope, which I've heard is really funny, and I'm really lame and haven't checked it out.
Raising Hope.
But it is March 17th, Raising Hope on Fox to callers 20 and 21.
Well, this is the beautiful thing, is that you get fans of each show, and then they get to go see the cast.
Right.
It's really great. It's really a great night. I hear the word museum, and I go, nope. But
I know.
But I went to the Dexter one, and it was awesome.
It scares you because you think old people, and you hate old people, but it's not.
It's not.
It's not. Bean, I think HBO has answered your wish for a Charlie Sheen TV show.
Already it happened. I want a full-time reality show with Charlie Sheen.
This is all I want. So despite Two and a Half Men getting shut down and the fact that he is losing his pay for the rest of the season, doesn't faze Charlie Sheen. He has revealed plans to move to HBO. He says now this is from Charlie. He says he has a brand new half-hour comedy called Sheen's Corner.
All right.
I want to go there. I want to live there.
I want to move in.
I don't care. I need to go to Sheen's Corner. According to messages the actor sent from his vacation, he says, quote, I'm close to securing a deal with HBO for a 10-show guarantee. It will be epic. All types of guests, and we will focus on the truth and the absurd. Oh, I bet you will.
That would be the best. If I'm HBO and I get that message, I'm going, yes, right now.
Absolutely. Hey, if I can be an enabler of Charlie Sheen's crazy addiction, I will. Is he free to go work for somebody else? Isn't he under contract right now for Two and a Half Men?
Clearly, him being under contract is not, taking him away from going to a vacation on an island with strippers and marijuana.
Right, right.
Clearly, he doesn't respect,
contracts and rules and regulations, and he doesn't care that his money will get taken away.
Right, but his lawyer will have to look into it at some point.
Yes.
Yeah.
According to HBO, it's currently not true, so it makes me sad. But in my heart, I want to go to Sheen's
Corner.
Come
on, HBO. Do the right thing.
Do the right thing.
HBO.
Even if you if this is a total rumor and you haven't heard anything about it, contact him.
Sheen's Corner. I would like to book guests for that show. That'd be fantastic. David Arquette just got the shock of his life a few weeks ago when he woke up from a nap with his wife and sister standing over him with a cup of coffee, Courtney Cox and Patricia Arquette. And they said, hey, would you come downstairs with us just for a minute? Pumpkin, we want to talk to you about something.
Oh, that's such bad news.
Well, when you see your ex-wife and your sister over your bed, you know the reason that they're talking cannot be good.
Right.
So he went downstairs, and turns out there were friends and family and an interventionist. And they took him and they got him into rehab, which he says has been the best thing for him. He is now sober, he says, for the first time in 30 years.
Wow.
I cannot imagine a lifetime of just sort of being that, you know, deranged and under the influence. But
Kevin can.
Me either.
He says he's doing very well, and he admitted to Oprah that he started drinking beer at the age of 4. He stole marijuana from his dad at 8. And according to David, he had a serious drinking problem by the time he started high school.
So he was an early starter. All right.
He gets an A for effort.
I agree.
The guy does everything.
Winning.
Of course. He's winning. Bean, you need to get $7,000 together.
$7,000. Got it.
Because you need to buy a lock of Justin Bieber's hair.
I'm on it.
It's currently on eBay. Justin got a signature bowl redone into something more hip this week. It's barely hip. I mean, it's better, but it's just sort of like...
It's just not
It looks
that,
like sex hair.
It's just not the ugly lesbian hair.
Yeah, exactly. Justin Bieber was on Ellen DeGeneres, and he gave her a single lock of his hair, so she put it up on eBay with all the proceeds going to charity. So check it out on eBay. The auction ends March 2nd.
Okay, so if the auction ends March 2nd, and it's now at $7,000, Bean's going to need a lot more money.
Yeah,
it could probably get up to like $20,000, I would think.
But that will be the centerpiece of the Bieber room of my home, right?
Well, you should sell a kidney if you have to. You need to raise the money. Go on Kickstarter.
I like it. Happy birthday today to Alexis Denzinoff from Buffy Angel and being Mr. Allison Hannigan. Happy birthday to writer, comedian, Chelsea Handler, who allegedly is 36. But
no!
But I could be dyslexic. It could be 63.
Yeah.
That sounds more likely.
And happy birthday to the Weasley brothers from Harry Potter, James and Oliver Phelps. I wish they were real. I love them so much. I am Alex. That is your show.
My motto now is you either love or you hate, and you must do so violently.
Okay.
And the reason you must hate violently is because, and you have to hate everybody that's not in your family, because they're there to destroy your family. And they will come at you in all forms and shapes.
Okay.
And therefore, there's nothing in the middle. I don't live in the middle anymore. That's where you get slaughtered. That's where you get embarrassed in front of the prom queen.
Wait, I have to hate everyone that's not in my family?
Yes, you do. That's exactly right.
Wow.
Andrew Siciliano joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the host of The Final Score on FSN and, of course, the Red Zone during football season. And he's been very active this week, filling in for Dan Patrick this week, on with Jim Rome all last week. Busy man with the world of sports going on. Have you ever rubbed elbows with Charlie Sheen? He fancies himself quite the sports authority, loves going to stuff.
You ever run into him? Here's our connection. Sorry. And good morning, guys. Our connection is this. Two things. Number one, I was raised a Cleveland Indians fan. The only time I knew the Indians winning as a child was in Major League. So there's our connection. And number two, most of the women that Charlie Sheen has bedded, at one point, I've maybe seen them on DVD. That's our only connection at all between me and Charlie Sheen. And I'm embarrassed to say that whenever a new one pops up on TMZ, I say, oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Of course you do, yeah.
Immediately.
Is Major League the most popular movie in the history of Cleveland? I mean, is that the number one rental, number one sales every year?
I think it's probably better than Howard the Duck.
Well, I would imagine
original
so.
Original Beverly Hills Cop, right?
Was that in Cleveland?
Well, the first half, before Axel Foley comes to Beverly Hills.
Yeah. You know, Major League 2 is much like Caddyshack 2. It's one of the worst films
just to say a terrible,
ever,
yeah.
ever.
But 3, Charlie says, will be good.
Yeah, that's the one, right? Exactly.
I hope they make 3, because after listening to those tapes, 3 could be the most fantastic film ever put together.
I agree.
I read the quotes yesterday. Nothing compares to actually hearing them.
Well, it's the anger that comes through
it's
his
fantastic.
Voice. Yeah, and he's so much better than everybody.
It's fantastic. Wow. And he's right, by the way, in a lot of it.
He is right?
Well, I mean,
which parts?
The That he's better than everyone? Let me live my life. Leave me the hell alone. I respect that part of it.
Well, I don't.
The burning every bridge thing is bad.
I don't because he's affecting a lot of other people's lives as well. So that to me, that's an
but he doesn't play nice with others anymore. That's the problem.
If he was a tennis player, right?
Yeah.
And it was a one man sport, and he could handle it however he wants, and he didn't have a whole hundreds of people counting on him. Fine, but he's on a show with a lot of different people.
You know what it was? Do you remember May of 07?
I don't remember May of last year.
I don't remember it either. Okay. Remember when Kobe did his radio tour? May of 07, end of May, all right, Kobe went on this radio tour, Laker offseason. They didn't, you know, do a thing. And then all of a sudden, he decides he wants out. Remember, there was that video that surfaced him in a parking lot in Orange County, ripping Andrew Bynum.
Yes,
remember
right.
all that?
Talking about how he wants to be traded.
He wants to be traded. Yeah. He did like four radio shows in the span of 4 hours. He did ESPN New York. He did here. He did 570. He did every radio show, and he carpet bombed the Lakers.
Yes,
I want out. Andrew Bynum's awful. I'm paraphrasing here, but it wasn't that far from what I'm saying.
Right.
He destroyed them, and every time you flip the station, it was like a stinking Britney Spears song.
Yeah.
He was there.
Uh-huh.
He did everything,
yeah.
And you thought it was over. He would never play again for the Lakers. He said he would never play again for the Lakers. He demanded right. X, Y, and Z, and guess what? They robbed Memphis of Pau Gasol.
They did. They got Pau Gasol, and that's all it took.
They got rid of all the other garbage, and look what we have now. We have an aging team that won a couple of championships and now is barely holding on to try to get the third,
sure.
But he got his way. And that day, we said he would never, ever rebuild those bridges. I'm not saying Kobe is Charlie Sheen here. There are a lot of differences as far as
of course,
I know.
Yeah.
But there's a comparison.
I mean, he's very popular and very talented. We're going to laugh at this when he's up on stage winning an Oscar for his Vietnam movie that he goes off and makes now with all this rage, right?
You know, I've never seen the show.
Two and a half, man.
Never seen it.
Yeah.
But that's
it's
not
popular.
The point. The point that I think is that I don't think directors and or casting people or whoever won't want to work with him until he does some kind of something that makes them think he's under control.
But other than the show's creator, didn't he have decent things to say about the crew, saying by shutting down, you're taking away from my crew? Didn't he say that?
Yeah, he tried to make
it
sound like
it was their fault.
He tried to make it sound like he never took responsibility for him being the reason
right.
those people weren't getting paychecks. He never offered to pick up their pay, even though he could easily afford it.
He could easily do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, he's making a lot of mistakes here, but I mean, this story is very fluid, and who knows what we're going to be talking about with Charlie Sheen.
This is Britney Spears cutting her hair. This is just a meltdown.
It's fantastic.
It is.
It's fantastic.
Does that make us bad?
Not at
yes.
all.
Yes, it does. It makes us bad.
No, I feel like it makes us bad, but it's really great.
Listen, if the guy's going to pick up the phone and continually call in to vent, you could step back and say it's a classic call for hope, cry for help, rather. At the same time, it's fantastic theater. This is not like an accident on the side of the road where something awful just happened and there could be someone dead inside that
right,
car.
Right.
God knows what's going to happen. I heard you guys say, he's got 4 months, 6 months? We're joking here.
Who knows?
He keeps picking up the phone.
Yeah,
No one's taking the phone away from him.
Well, no,
take away the phone.
I don't think there's anyone around him that would dare.
I mean, it's like me drunk texting at 1 in the morning. Someone's got to take the phone away from me. And I'm sorry for anyone out there who's received them.
It doesn't mean Andrew doesn't love you. It just means you should have rethought the text.
Actually, it may.
It may, yeah.
What you guys are forgetting about Charlie Sheen is this.
Winning.
That's what you're forgetting.
It's true.
All right. We wasted our time in this segment, but we'll come back more with our guest, Andrew Siciliano, talking about all things Deportes right after this on the Kevin DeBean. So if I understand what you're saying, Andrew Siciliano, on the Kevin DeBean show.
Go there. Go ahead.
The NBA All-Star Game crowd is like a barbecue at Flava Flav's house.
Wow.
That's what you're saying.
You know, I don't watch any Flava Flav reality show. My Flava Flav experience.
Are you kidding?
No,
that was the best.
You know me, I don't watch reality shows.
Flava Flav, though,
is a
whole
He's the Flava
category.
Of all flavors.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I know my Flava from Public Enemy in high school, and I was the white kid with the Fear of a Black Planet poster on my wall in the suburbs.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you wear a big clock around your neck?
No, I did for Halloween a couple of years ago, though. I did not paint my face. I'm not that guy, however.
I am that guy. I was Kanye for Halloween a couple of years
ago
when I painted my face.
You painted your face.
He did, yeah.
And told Kanye about it. He said, that ain't cool.
This is disturbing.
All right.
Wow.
We don't have very much time.
Okay.
Andrew Siciliano is here, and one of the reasons we wanted to have him on is, A, we're lame, we don't have a sports guy, and we should. But B, we love Andrew, we love his take.
Likewise.
I'm going to throw out some names. You describe the trade in a few words and tell us if it's a win for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo Anthony to the Knicks.
I can answer that. Win for Knicks.
It's a win for both teams, believe it or not, but it's a huge win for the Knicks, even though they're probably going to have to get a new point guard in the year. It's not going to be Darren Williams. They hope it to be Chris Paul. If you saw what happened at the Garden Tuesday night with Carmelo, who was born in Brooklyn, who went to Syracuse, who brought them a national championship, I don't know if they can maintain that energy, and they're not in any way a championship team. This trade is for 2 years down the line, but for now, it is absolutely fantastic.
Starting with him and Stoudemire, I mean, that's a great two players.
Weren't the scalpers getting something like 10 grand for front row seats
for
that game for the first Carmelo?
Couldn't even get in the back row of the upper deck for less than $3 million.
Wow. And it's been a while since the New York Knicks have been able to say that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Moving on. Baron Davis to the Cavaliers. He's been a longtime Clipper favorite. Are Clipper fans going to miss this dude?
Lucky for him, they have buffets in Northeast Ohio.
All right.
He was owed $28 million, not including the remainder of his contract this year. So two more years at $28.8 million, roughly.
Wow.
Mo Williams comes in at $17 million. Now, the bad thing is the Clippers gave up next year, this June's first-round pick, which will be in the lottery and is unprotected. If the draft were today, it would be the 7th overall pick. So, in essence, to get a team to take that $11 million and to really, honestly, take Barron's lazy behind.
Right.
They had to give up that first-round pick. But moving forward,
that's a lot to get away from him.
You know what? I disagree.
And for him,
I disagree.
Really?
They have six guys at 22 or younger. Not that they couldn't use that first-round pick. Anybody could use that first-round pick. Now Donald Sterling doesn't have to pay that first-round pick as well. Think about that. But this team could go nowhere until they got rid of Barron, who played well the last couple of weeks, to his credit. Blake Griffin, I think, kind of picked him up and revived him. But this team is going nowhere with Barron. This team is actually a symbol of what's gone wrong the last decade with Barron.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers are one of the worst NBA teams of all time, right?
Yes.
So it's a sideways move for him.
And he doesn't really get
along.
It's
actually a step down from the Clippers.
There is nothing worse right now in the NBA than going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yeah. It is the definition of Siberia, of purgatory, or anything else. It is
awful.
And
how much of a fool does that owner, I forget his name, now feel like for saying, oh, don't worry, the Cavaliers are going to win a ring well before LeBron does in Miami?
His name is Dan Gilbert, and I guarantee you he doesn't think he's a fool, which makes him
a fool.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and the big trade, of course there were others, but the big trade that shocked a lot of people was Boston dealing Kendrick Perkins, who has helped them win a title recently.
And then somebody let out of the bag that he was crying in the locker room when they told him of the trade. So now he's got to get over that.
Well, he's going to Oklahoma, right?
He's going to Oklahoma City, which makes them a really good team.
I think so too.
They're a heck of a lot better now than the team that the Lakers faced last year and had so much trouble with in the playoffs, because now they have a little bit of meat in the middle if Kendrick Perkins can stay healthy. I don't get it for the Boston Celtics. They get younger moving forward with Jeff Green, but this year, right now, winning a championship, they got noticeably weaker by getting rid of Kendrick
Perkins.
Would
think that they are certainly have got to be one of the two or three teams most likely to win the NBA championship with the team that they had. Why take a chance and split that up?
Before that trade, I would say they were the clear favorite to win the NBA championship. Now they are one of four or five teams that has a pretty good shot.
So what do you think happened? I mean, what did they know that we don't?
Perkins had said that they had offered him a long-term deal. And he didn't take it. He wanted more money. He wanted to test the market. But he didn't want to leave. Figure there's no way they trade him because he gives them a great chance to win. He's not the best guy on the team, but he's a huge component of them winning this year.
He's what they need.
Right. So he figured there's no way they trade him. Right. He turned down the deal. The guy that got Jeff Green is a younger player that they need to not rebuild with, but stock up with and get younger moving forward. It made sense in the offseason. It doesn't make sense now. Not even close.
Gotcha.
Not even close.
Andrew Siciliano is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you can see him on the FSN on the Fox Sports Network. The Final Score is the show. In our remaining minute, I understand that negotiations have been going surprisingly well in that both sides are still talking in trying to avert an NFL strike. They're taking the weekend off, but they say they're getting back together next week. What kind of movement has been made, if any?
We have no idea because there's a gag order. We have to think that it's something positive. They've been in there all week.
So but they have been talking.
They have been talking. There's a mediator, but that doesn't mean there's been any progress. I'm not that optimistic, honestly.
Really?
Not at all. March 4th, circle it.
It's a mediator, but it's a non-binding mediation. It's not like the guy hears everything and then says, all right, here's what you're going to do, and you have to abide by it, right?
Exactly.
What's March 4th?
March 4th is the date where they would potentially lock out the players.
Oh,
and the
I see.
Other date you
and
need to know.
That's next week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
July 1, the NBA will basically shut down as well. You have a far better chance, in my opinion, of the NBA missing games next year, or next fall, than the NFL missing games. The NFL's talking right now. They got 6 months to figure it out. They're at the table. They're locked in a room.
Right.
The NBA, they're not talking anytime soon.
Oh, they should ask Flava Flav what he thinks.
He should be the mediator.
Well, I don't want to live in a world where Sunday rolls around next season and it's supposed to be Andrew Siciliano on my DirecTV Red Zone and that channel is blank.
Yeah,
that's not
either.
The world I look forward to. I'll tell you that.
It'll be Andrew going, hey, remember last year when...
Wasn't it awesome?
Let's show some highlights.
Yeah.
Hey, we still got that Pro Bowl tape. You didn't watch it when it aired. Let's go through that.
Hey, guess what? The Pro Bowl had the highest rating in like 20 years.
Right, but that's...
What? And the game was awful.
But that's comparing it against terrible ratings. So what? But
people watched it because it was on.
I guess.
Period.
Because that's how popular football is, right?
That's how popular
Andrew,
it is.
You're the best, man. Thank you so much for
Love
coming in today. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Congratulations to George Belanchi from Los Angeles. Just got those the new CD from Foo Fighters and qualified for the trip to see Foo Fighters in the Swiss Alps. Your chance to
Lonely.
Win. Your chance to win coming up this all this weekend on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 941.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. I'm a little bit embarrassed that our friend Anel Rivers, Kevin and Bean token black listener number one, had to show up, had to force his way past Charles, the security guard, to get into the building and say, guys, Black History Month, haven't been on one time all month, what up?
That was odd. About a half hour ago, he just poked his head in the studio. We were like, we don't have security anymore?
Well, I mean, you guys have security. He's just not very effective.
I see.
Right, exactly.
He's an older gentleman.
He's also a brother, so I'd like to say that he conveniently looks the other way when Anel shows up. He's not exactly stopping him. But you're right. We did drop the opportunity to have you on for Black History Month. So since Ralph is out sick today, Anel Rivers is here with a look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Kevin, there's something different when Anel does the report, right?
Well, when he comes in, we do our normal sound effect between stories is the camera shutter.
Correct.
But Anel doesn't like that.
No. So where I come from, that'll get you shot.
Right. So he likes Bean saying,
girl, holla.
So that'll be
okay.
Between
That's
each
the cue
story.
To move on to the next story. I got it.
Yeah. Well, we just had to let everybody know. You know, I know we got some new affiliates. Do not adjust your dials. I am a black man. Okay.
Right.
Don't freak out. This is really happening. All right. But I just want to get into some showbiz. Check this out. First of all, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but our boy, Dave, the King of Mexico, he's a psychic.
He's a psychic?
He's a psychic. Yeah, I don't mean like Miss Cleo calling me now. I mean like a real actual psychic. Okay, the other day, Dave tweeted that he thought he was going to get a seizure from that Kanye West video with, you know, Rihanna, All the Lights.
Yeah. Oh, I saw his tweet about that.
Did you? I saw that too.
Right.
Well, check this out. This just in, Kanye's All the Lights has in fact been pulled from YouTube.
Because of?
The UK charity group Epilepsy Action contacted Kanye West's agent stating that the video may in fact trigger seizures.
Wow. How about that? So this is like those Japanese cartoons that everybody gets sick when they watch, right?
Exactly. Well, I don't get sick. You get sick when you watch the Japanese cartoons?
I mean, epileptics, people who are prone to seizures cannot watch some things like that on TV.
Wow.
Oh, those Japanese cartoons. Oh, okay.
No, not those.
Very different.
My bad. Well, I'm sorry. I'm glad we cleared that up here.
Yeah.
So, you know, next up, I got a little story here. Girl, holla! About my boy Charlie Sheen.
Yes.
Yes. As you guys know, Charlie Sheen's been shooting his mouth off, talking about he wants to wrestle. He wants to get it on with Chuck Lorre in the octagon. So basically what's been happening is we have a little sound off here from UFC boss Dana White. Dana White is saying he would like to be the co-main event at this big week's big fight is to have Charlie Sheen and Chuck Lorre go at it as an undercard to the BJ Penn John Fitch fight.
Now, Chuck Lorre is the creator or producer, executive producer, what?
I believe he's the creator.
Right. Creator of, yeah,
Two,
Half Men.
Of Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
And Chuck has been shooting his mouth off, calling, I mean, he didn't, man. Chuck is throwing fighting words out there. He didn't call him a punk. And he didn't call him, you know, a couple other P words I can't say on the radio.
I got to tell you, I back him.
You do?
I do. I think what Charlie Sheen's doing is he's an a-hole to hundreds of people.
Yeah, I do too. But, I mean, here's Suzanne. Check it out, man. Chuck Lorre, okay? Television, you know, he's a guy.
Right.
Okay? Charlie Sheen has no reason to do what you never do to anybody in showbiz, which is call the man out of his showbiz name. Okay? Because he's been running around town telling everybody the man's name. What is it? Haim, you know, Levine or something like that. And
right.
Yeah, he's been calling him by his birth name rather than his showbiz name.
You never
name.
Do
right.
that. How would Charlie Sheen feel if everybody started calling him Chuck Estevez? You know what I'm saying? I like to start a campaign that says we stop calling him Charlie Sheen. Okay, that's his showbiz name. You want to disrespect a man, go on the radio and call him out of his, you know, showbiz name? I say we all start calling him Chuck Estevez. So from now on, he's no longer Charlie Sheen to me. He's now an Estevez again.
All right.
Okay, you've been demoted. You're Latino again, Charlie Sheen. Congratulations.
Winner!
Holla! Next, I got a little story here. I,
this is a little something that hits home here. You guys have been going to a club, man, and been, you know, disrespected by the bouncer, man.
Oh, yeah.
Turned away, told you ain't got the right shoes on.
Always.
Or, you know, your hue is a little off. Okay, well, basically, I got a list here about some A-list stars that keep getting turned away from clubs. U.S. Weekly Magazine released a list here.
Stars usually don't have a problem. Usually they just usher them right through.
I always thought, you know, as long as you were willing to go on ahead and, you know, and take pictures and be cordial, they let you on in. But apparently that is not the case.
All
now,
right.
You're going to be surprised by some of the people on this list here. Okay?
They got denied at the door.
Denied.
Awesome.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, can't enter. Okay, go home. Okay, you got your boy Mike Tyson. I'm sorry, not Mike Tyson. Mike, the Situation Sorrentino.
I can see that.
Okay, the Situation, denied at the club.
Funny.
That's funny. Okay, bad situation to be in. Okay. You've also got Kate Hudson. Okay, who was turned away from the VIP entrance for Matt Bellamy's own show in Paris.
What?
Okay, now she's dating the lead singer and is pregnant with the lead singer of the Muse, of the rock band, and she couldn't get into any place that the Muse was?
She could not get in. Man, that wasn't an accident, man. Yeah. I don't like my baby mama being anywhere I'm at either, dude. Like, seriously.
Good point.
Big Matt put a picture up at the door.
Yeah, let me tell you something. When we dropped the Nell Rivers' first album, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Nell Rivers, It's Not My Fault, coming to these stores.
Sure.
My wife will not be there.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Fantastic.
We've also got, now check this out. Do you guys know Kirsten Dunst?
Oh, sure.
Sure. You guys have heard of her?
She should be allowed in no clubs.
Well, she was denied entrance into the new club Cosmopolitan for New Year's. No entry.
How about
for
that?
Toothy McGee.
That is the hottest club, you know, the hottest hotel and club in Las Vegas right now, and I'm sure they were oversold for New Year's Eve. You can't just show up and say, "Let me in." I guess.
Well, no.
And then they said, "Oh, we have a celebrity." They said, "Who?" And they said, "Kristen Dunst." Said, "Who?"
Well, no, they were going to let her in, but her teeth forgot their ID, so they decided she had to stay out. She didn't want to leave her teeth outside, so I guess they all went back and watched a movie or something back at the house. And last but not least, you got your boy Puffy. Sean Combs.
Turned away?
Yeah, him and 20 friends denied a table. It says here, Albert Knox Dallas restaurant because, well, Brad Fuller told him there was no place to put him. Yeah. Puffy, note to self, it's Texas, bro.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very different.
Exactly.
You can't show up anywhere with 20 people that's a hot place and expect to get seated.
Well, he probably could somewhere in New York City, but this is Texas, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, he looked, they didn't make him go to the entry, you know, to the back entry, man, where the waiters get served from.
Now, we're almost out of time here, Mr. Rivers. I understand you've got a giveaway.
Yes, I got a
for
giveaway
Kevin
I'm gonna do
right
here.
Now.
I got a giveaway.
Holla!
Okay, check this out. I got for 5 callers, all right? I want to go through callers. I'm going to keep it easy for Chip. It's the weekend. Let's just go callers 1 through 5. Okay, I have a giveaway here, all right? A pair of passes to the premiere, okay? Not just showing, but the premiere of Take Me Home Tonight. Okay.
Excellent.
Yes, and that is going to be tonight at the Regal LA Live on March 2nd and in theaters Friday, March 4th. Okay, and this movie hits home because I'm a child of the 80s, and I remember Eddie Money, man. That's some of my best times.
Nope.
Eddie Money.
Nope, not Eddie Money.
Yes, Eddie Money. You're not Eddie Money fan?
I don't believe it's Eddie Money. No.
You don't even know.
I'm not an Eddie Money fan.
Topher Grace, Anna Faris. The movie does look like a lot of fun. It's you get a chance to see it on the 2nd, and then it opens up next Friday, March 4th. First 5 callers through, you win from the Kevin and Beach.
I will definitely be going to see that. And next up, I've got my celebrity birthdays.
All right.
Okay, we've got...
Wait, sorry.
Girl, holla! It's Friday, guys. Kevin's already checked out over here. You guys are on season
8. Hey, I showed up at like 8.
He's packing bags.
Got here. What are you talking about?
Nice.
He's refreshed.
He's still strong.
Good.
We've got an actor, Alexis Denisov. Okay, she's 45 years old. Okay.
Or he.
Is it a he? You know what?
I didn't know either until Alex told me earlier.
Yeah, here's the problem. You know, women, I appreciate the whole women's lip thing, but the actor, actress thing, that was unnecessary, okay? Because now people like the names like Alexis and Pat and Chris, we don't know who the hell
we're
talking
about. And we have to guess.
And we have to guess, okay? Yeah. So there you go.
And we guess poorly.
Yes. Now, Tia Leone, I have to know for a fact she is a woman.
Yes, very much so.
Comedian Carrot Top is 44 years old. Okay? Yeah, man. That dude, he's a
Mike,
sight
how come
to
you're not as swole as Carrot Top?
No one is practically.
Carrot Top looks like a wax figure.
Yeah.
He looks like a lab accident.
Of who Carrot Top used to be.
Ray Lewis isn't as swole as Carrot Top. He's unbelievable.
Carrot Top looks like Clay Matthews and the Wendy's girl had a baby. Okay, the guy
excellent.
He's
right
absolutely
on.
Enormous. Okay, and it's just red hair and muscles and freckles, and it's scary.
Yeah, it's a freak show.
It is a freak show. My man, actor Sean Astin is 40 years old. Mike from the Goonies is 40 years old.
All right.
Yes, everybody, put the razors down. It's okay. It's keep going on. All right, we got a singer. Daniel Powter is 40 years old. Okay, comedian Chelsea Handler.
Nope.
Is 36. No, no bell for Chelsea Handler.
No. Personality.
Do
Chelsea
we have
Handler.
Like a reverse bell, or we need like a like a gong or a buzz song?
Chewbacca
for my girl Chelsea. All right, now, listen, guys. This is a special moment in my heart. I know we run out of time here. Actress Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes.
We're with 35. You know, Rashida and I, you know, we got some history.
You do?
Rashida. Really?
You've watched some of the shows she's on?
Rashida, call me. The restraining order has expired.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. It's been some years. Okay, and of course, James Oliver Phelps. You know, we got Fred and George Weasley from Harry Potter, 25 years old. And I'm your boy, Nell Rivers, and that has been the K-Rock Showbiz
Busy. Go. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Nell.
Thank you.
Enjoy the remaining hours of Black History Month. Sorry we dissed you.
It's okay. I'm used to it.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. On Monday, we've got a full Oscar recap for you. We've got Harvey Levin from TMZ, and we have Ask an Ex-Hacker on Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I'm putting some soul in it today.
Pass it over to me.
Ooh, yeah. I got a taco right here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
That is adorable.
Just like the other one.
And tell us about that. Are you gay?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Winning anyone?
And I need another hit.
Don't bogart the joint, pass it along.
That's right, that's right. Puff, puff, pass, man.
I don't know any of the terminology.
Puff, 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 pass.
Pass.
Pass the joint.
All right.
Roll another one.
You need to go to Riddlewind.
Riddlewind.
Yeah.
Just like the other one. Time to release the crack. This one seems to be about to end.
In there.
I don't have another cent.
I said, where do you want to go for your anniversary? She said, I want to go somewhere I've never been before. I said, try the kitchen.
So mad, all I can do is dance.
Just pass it around.
You're an idiot asshole.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Winning.
I just pass it on down.
Okay, all right, okay. Enough of that racket.
Enough mingling. What's the first point of business on the agenda?
For you to stop speaking.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
And cut.
So did you like that sign off? Just made it up.
You know what I want you to do?
Yeah.
Go home, have a little lunch, lay down.
Lay down.
And then go f*** yourself. I'm done.
You're like, hey.